he's a sulky, over bumpy, kinda hunky superhero.
Hot to fisted and electrically transistored superhero. An exotically neurotic
and aquatic superhero.
The Marvel superheroes have arrived.
Hello and welcome to Marvel Vision, a Marvel Studios TV show podcast brought to you by Cinema Sanga. My name is Devin Faraci. Joining me as he traditionally does.
My name is Derek Faraci, and I was at a funeral the day I realized I wanted to spend my life with you.
Oh, boy. Derek, we had initially decided that we were going to do an episode about The Boys, the Amazon Prime TV program adapting the Garth Ennis, Derek Robertson comic book series. And then we said, well, maybe there'll be like a little bit of San Diego Comic-Con stuff that popped up. And then, you know, and then it turns out like a ton of San Diego Comic-Con stuff popped up, like an enormous amount of it. Almost none of it for fans of DC Comics.
What are you talking about? That's all I have. This is going to be a 3-minute episode.
It is tragic to see the differences. And this happens every year at Comic-Con. Warner Brothers always goes in the morning on Saturday and Marvel goes in the evening. They don't close it. Kevin Smith comes on after Marvel every single year.
You think Kevin Smith after the Star Wars thing would be like, I don't want to go last.
I think he doesn't care. I think he just wants to sit in the room with his people. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't think he gives a shit. Because he's been doing it for years now, years and years and years. So Warner Brothers goes first, and for some reason, they just never seem to be able to do anything all that exciting. And then Marvel comes out and just wipes the floor with whatever Warner Brothers did. Like, I mean, like, almost embarrassingly so.
Yeah.
This year,
I would argue this year they didn't even try.
Well, they were up against the wall this year, right? They can't talk about The Flash.
But, I mean, they didn't even talk about Wonder Woman, Blue Beetle, Batgirl.
Like, that's actually a really good point.
I'm guessing they have not announced another fandom, but I'm guessing this is their, like, I'm taking this as the unofficial official announcement of fandom and not discussing other movies. Like, Aquaman comes out before the next Comic-Con.
Have they started working on it?
Aquaman, it's done.
They filmed it.
It was supposed to come out this year.
Really?
It was supposed to come out Avatar, and then they moved it back and put Shazam in its place.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they were filming it.
Yeah, it's filmed.
I missed all that. Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, that does – the Batgirl especially felt weird because that's soon, isn't it?
Maybe.
We don't know. Nobody knows. We don't have a date on that.
They have not given a date on it. People – like, there's a belief that it's coming out this year, but
they
also –
that's what I had heard.
Well, they also announced that it's going to be theatrical overseas in 2023. So I think they're holding it back. That's my guess.
You know, I get holding things for fandom. I totally do. And that makes a lot of sense. I guess they don't really make any money on fandom, but whatever. I get
it. Money on Comic-Con? I mean.
No, I guess they don't. But they spend money on fandom. They spend less money on Comic-Con. But I get it. But at the same time, they had to know what was going to happen this year, and I feel like they needed to present some level of assurance that they're still in the game.
Yeah.
Because they did not present any assurance that they're still in the game.
No.
I would say almost the exact opposite, frankly.
But, like, they're just not playing the game anymore.
Yeah, they're just out. They're just done. Like, they're going to put out a scattershot number of things, and whatever hits, they'll be happy with. But there's no longer any kind of vision, plan, or idea behind any of it.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be like, well, we're just going to do different things all over the place with absolutely no cohesiveness whatsoever.
Yeah.
Which is, like, fine.
Sure.
Party but on. Also, it doesn't it doesn't inspire confidence for me.
I guess, yeah.
How do you feel about this? You're the DC guy.
I feel like right now they're in a situation where they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. And I think a lot of stuff was paused during the Discovery merger.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's been a lot of turnover since the Discovery merger. And
that's a really good point.
And I know that supposedly, at least, I don't know if this is factual or if this is just what people have heard, but like one of their goals is to find their own Kevin Feige. And
they've been saying that for years, though.
Yes, yes. And they have not found one yet. So I think that's part of it, is they're like, they don't really, and I have a feeling that there's a lot of things, not a lot of things, but things that like, they're like, well, Flash clears the table for some stuff, but we can't talk about Flash. So we're just kind of stuck. But they also haven't announced anything new in a long time, right? So,
right.
Who knows?
But stuff like not showing a Blue Beetle thing, like you can show a real trailer at Fandom, but like showing a little bit, like giving an official, did they ever do an official shot of the costume or no? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
We just seen this paparazzi photos.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like
they
just
did
doing
an official Batgirl one, but I'm not Blue Beetle from what I remember.
Doing an official Blue Beetle, I think, would have made a difference. You know, just, I mean, anything. And again, you know, if Warner Brothers
James
policy,
Gunn is there,
right?
Do a quick
Peacemaker
Peacemaker 2, or he did an interview like a week ago where he's like, "Yeah, I'm doing three other shows as well." So it's like maybe announce one of those.
Well, we already know he's doing an Amanda Waller show. Is that official, or we just know it?
I don't think that's official. I do not think that's official.
Yeah, it seems weird not to have him. There was a lot of people who were at Comic-Con for Marvel who were not on stage at Marvel, by the way.
Were there?
Yeah, yeah. Simu Liu was there. I saw people take photos with him. They didn't bring him up.
Was he just there for himself? Like just hanging out? Or
beats the shit out of me. I saw pictures of him at a party. I have no idea.
Interesting.
Although I have some Shang-Chi stuff to share in when we get later on.
Okay.
So what did DC show?
They showed the trailer for the documentary Milestone Generations, all about Milestone. And that's going to be on HBO Max in like a week.
Oh, nice. That's cool. So,
yeah, I'm very excited for that because I love Milestone. So I'm excited to see that. They showed the Shazam trailer, which I greatly enjoyed.
Thought it was terrific.
Yeah.
It's funny because the Shazam trailer continues the fiction that there's a connected universe.
Yes.
But also kind of goes out of its way not to show us the people that he's talking about.
I mean, there's a straight up shot of Batman.
There's a Batfleck shot, Batman, but like, Fleck, right? But like Aquaman is from behind.
Flash is from behind. And
Flash
and
from behind.
I think Flash is from behind, right? And Aquaman's from behind. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. And he doesn't mention Superman.
No, Superman and Wonder Woman go unmentioned.
Yeah. Which is fine. Like I don't mind that, but it is funny because you would think that he would mention Superman.
Yes, especially since Henry Cavill came out.
Oh, no. What a sore spot. We'll get to that later. but it was a pretty delightful trailer.
Yes.
It had the right tone.
Yeah.
And it had him throwing a car at a giant dragon.
Yeah. It had everything I would like to see. And it makes me very sad that they're putting it out against Avatar because it's going to get crushed.
It's going to get murdered.
And I think that's a real shame.
One of the interesting things in the trailer seemed to be the idea that he is not necessarily feeling bad about sharing his power, but feeling a little bit left behind by everybody else.
Yes.
Which I kind of like that. I like that idea.
I like that a lot.
I'm assuming that's going to be the arc of the movie, is bringing the Shazam family back together again.
Yeah, that's what I imagine. Because I would think maybe Mary has gone off to college, right? Because she was applying to colleges in the last one.
And that was like 11 years ago. Right? So she's probably they're getting a PhD.
Yeah. They're all
Captain Marvel Jr. is having a second child.
Yes. But yeah, I think, you know, she's off at college and then like the other kids are just doing their own stuff and Billy feels left out. And he doesn't feel like he has anything because the other heroes can't show up. Because they can't do like a connected universe. So.
They can't show up. And he also recognizes that he's a character who was created sort of to just rip off Superman. He sort of recognizes that. And I thought it was really good. I did not get as good a sense of the villain plot as I might have liked.
No.
But who cares? Like, whatever.
Yeah. The villain plots are always secondary, you know, in superhero movies, as it turns out.
That is true.
The plots are usually like, I want to take over the world or I want to blow up something.
In this case, it seems like they're mad that he is sharing the power of the gods with mortals. That seems to be the issue here.
Yeah. So we'll see. I really like the trailer, though. I thought it was really, really good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I had a really good time. I love
the first movie, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, I had a good time watching that trailer. I thought it was very, very funny. There's an obvious Annabelle cameo in there. But also
Annabelle and Starro.
Is there a Starro?
Yes.
Where?
The pediatrician's wall, there's like a alphabet, and for S, there's a little Starro.
Oh, wow. The very last shot of the trailer, where he's talking about how much he loves his life, over his shoulder is a store named Fulci.
Yes, that's pretty fun.
That was a good little horror nod. It looks like a lot of fun. It looks like it probably will not be popular with the hardcore fan base because it doesn't have the elements that they want, which is misery and deathly seriousness.
Yes. Yeah.
What else?
I don't think they like the first one so much.
They don't like the first one so much. Now, what else? What else we got from DC?
Well, for misery and deathly seriousness, we have Black Adam. I don't know if it's going to be misery and deathly serious, but the trailer is not jokey.
But I think that the fact that The Rock is not doing an accent, I think, tells you everything you need to know. That he's just going to be playing The Rock as a superhero who's like kind of a badass who like kills dudes. Like, I don't think it's going to be jokey, although the previous trailer had jokes in it.
Yes, I think there will be jokes in it. I think there will be. And I like the trailer. I thought it was a good trailer.
The director of this movie is one of my favorite directors, and I can't pronounce his name. Is it Jome?
Who are you asking? Come on.
Anyway, he
I'm not falling into that trap.
He's a master at making kind of campy movies. In that the movies take themselves very seriously, but also he's quite clearly aware that they're ludicrous. He's excellent at it. Like, he really threads that needle perfectly, and I hope he brings some of that energy to this movie.
I hope so too. I hope so too. And The Rock made quite the entrance at Comic-Con, coming down from the ceiling and all.
Jermaine Lussier of IO9 said that he looked exactly like a Sideshow Hot Toys figure, including the weird contraption they used to hold the toy up.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
which I thought was pretty delightful. Yeah, he made the big entrance. He made the Tom Hiddleston entrance.
Yes.
Tom Hiddleston had done that. I remember the second one. What a dud. The Tom Hiddleston entrance, I remember that year I was in the audience and he came out in Loki garb and was playing Loki. I don't think The Rock was playing Black Adam, right? He just came out in the outfit.
I don't remember what he says when he comes down. I can't remember if he's like
Hiddleston came out and like was Loki. Like, he like stalked the stage and gave and talked to the audience and made the audience do a chant in response with him as Loki.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And I had never seen anything like that. And that was a moment where I felt like there was a shift in these superhero movies.
Yeah.
Because he's a serious actor, Tom Hiddleston. Like, before the superhero movies, he was a serious, real actor. And very often those actors don't feel a lot of love for those roles. They're taking roles because they're money and they get their name out there and all these other things, but like, they don't really embrace it that way. Him coming out in costume was incredible to me and seemed to me to be a real turning point in how people approach these roles, with a kind of enjoying the defining aspect of them.
From the start, I think Hiddleston kind of had a thing in his head where he's like, this is what I'm going to be remembered for. Like, I'll do serious stuff. I'll do more actory things, but I'm going to be remembered for Loki.
So yeah,
it's going to go full out into Loki.
It's the James Bond thing, right? Like, you know, when you play James Bond, the first line of your obituary is going to be James Bond actor so and so dies. Like, that's going to be, no matter what else you do in your life, that's going to be your thing. And I think a lot of these actors have come to understand that and embrace it.
Yeah,
that they're going to be defined by this, but it's not actually necessarily a super bad thing anymore. It isn't like a typecasting thing.
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, I think it works out. But
The Rock's appearance at Comic-Con had one of the wildest things I've ever seen at a San Diego Comic-Con.
Was everybody booing?
Everybody booed The Rock, which was unbelievable because The Rock said something about Superman. Somebody asked who would win in a fight, Superman and Black Adam, and The Rock says depends on who plays him. And the audience, who had been expecting Henry Cavill to come out on stage and announce that he was returning as Superman, just turned on him immediately.
Yeah.
If I had been in that audience, I would have thought that what I was seeing was the setup for Henry Cavill to come out. I wouldn't have booed.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought as well, I think.
I would have thought, oh, now here comes Henry Cavill walking in and goes, who depends on who plays him. Well, there's just one Superman buddy and it's me. You know what I mean? Like but that is obviously not what happened.
No.
A lot of sites and a lot of YouTubers essentially promised that this was going to happen.
Yes. I mean, there are people like, I have confirmed reports that he is there. Henry Cavill is at Comic-Con. I have confirmed reports. And then Steve Weintraub, Clyde Frosty, was like, no, he's in England filming The Witcher.
Like, and he has scenes on Friday. Like, he's shooting scenes on Friday. It isn't even like he has like a day to travel. Now, but here's the thing. So in the past, obviously, I think Marvel has done a really good job of putting people on private planes and getting them across the world. This has happened a couple of times for Marvel.
And he also could have shown up on like a screen, right?
On
like
a screen, right. Zoomed him, right? But still, the fact that that's the kind of thing you do want him there. But anyway, he did not show up. The DC audience had such an unbelievable heartbreak that was only doubled by Jim Lee.
Yes. Jim Lee broke a lot of hearts.
Let's just specify who Jim Lee is. Jim Lee is one of the great comic artists of all time.
Yes.
He's beloved, and he's a DC guy. He's with his work for both, but he's been a DC guy for like 15 years now, and he is like a high-level DC guy, and he's involved in
the movies. He essentially runs DC at this moment.
Right. And he's involved in the movies. It's him and
Marie Evans, the two that run it, right? So.
And somebody asked him about more Snyderverse movies, and he said, there will be no more Snyderverse movies. And
he didn't even say – first he said, you know, for 2 years we've all been locked up. This is supposed to be a celebration. Like, he was just broken. He was like, come on. Like,
well, he was not just broken, but as somebody put it succinctly on Twitter, it looked like a hostage situation. Like, he's trying to figure out how to speak to this lunatic. Because that's, I think, how a lot of these creatives feel about these Snyder fans at this point. Like, they're afraid of them a little bit.
Of course they are, because they get death threats online.
Sure do. But Jim Lee made it official. There will never be a Snyderverse returning. There are no more Snyder movies. Never going to happen. 0.0 chance of it ever occurring.
Although Snyder will be on Teen Titans Go.
He will be. He remains in the DC universe in his own weird way.
He's showing up in the 356th episode or 65th episode of Teen Titans Go. Which means, by the way, if you were to do a Teen Titans Go weekly podcast, episode by episode, you have 14 years of Teen Titans Go and it's still going.
Well, you want to do it.
That's amazing.
That's maybe too many. That's too many episodes. That's
amazing. 365 episodes. That's crazy. Who knew? I mean, I guess the people that work on it probably knew.
Yeah. I mean, then the kids that watch it. It seems like the kind of thing, though, that people – it's one of the rare properties that people seem to age out of.
Yes. Yeah, it's like a SpongeBob at this point, I would guess, right?
Like you love it as a kid, but then you age out of it, and then like you enjoy checking it out, or like when the movie came out, people really enjoyed the movie, but they're not like really super connected to the continuing program.
Yeah,
they age up to Titans, where Robin says "fuck Batman."
Yes, well, I think first they age up to Young Justice, and then to Titans. Right. What's great though is if you look on like Reddit or Twitter, you would think that Teen Titans Go. Nobody likes it of any age group, and it's only being made because it's DC as like a FU to the fans that they keep making this instead of going back and making more of the Titans cartoon that existed before this one. And it's like, no, I don't think that's how businesses work. Somebody's watching this show enough to keep it running for 365 episodes. That's not something you do to be like, ha-ha, fuck you, fans. Like, that's insanity.
It makes no sense. It's a childish way of looking at the world that is truly ludicrous.
Yeah.
So Jim Lee shut it down. There will never be any more Snyderverse movies.
And never say never.
Yeah, obviously never say never fully.
A lot of people said there would never be the Snyder Cut, and then that happened. So
that did happen.
What kind of hellish landscape Warner Bros. Will find itself in 2 years? They're like, we gotta do something. Fuck it.
Who knows what when the president of Warner Brothers' entire family is kidnapped by these Snyder Bros, and he is forced to bring Zack Snyder back for a Justice League sequel. I mean, who knows? But yeah, as of right now, there is no
plans.
There's no realistic scenario where this happens. Yeah. Good riddance, I guess.
My latest theory, though, when it comes to Superman, is that Warner Brothers is just waiting for Superman to go into public use. Just like, that's like 5 years away, right? Like, when he's public domain, and they're like, fuck it, let somebody else handle it.
Well, they have that Michael B. Jordan Superman kicking around, don't they?
They have like three different ones. They have that one. They have the J.J. Abrams one, right?
No, that's not real. That's an ancient one.
What's his face writing it? Tinashe Coates? Isn't that the one
that's the one that Michael B. Jordan is writing.
I thought that was the one that J.J. Abrams was
doing. No, it's going to be the Black Superman movie. J.J. Abrams might be producing that one potentially.
Okay.
But that's the Black Superman movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if they're doing anything. Who knows? I mean, that's been silent for a while. You know, you think there might have been something about that would get brought up, but there was not. And that's how it goes.
So it's mostly quiet on the DC Comics front. Yeah.
I did one thing I really do like about the Black Adam trailer. Is it looks like Hawkman's going to wear his helmet a lot. And that made me very happy.
Yeah, I mean, I like the other Justice Society guys. They seem pretty cool. Yeah. I'm pro them.
Yeah.
So I'm all about that.
It was a good looking trailer. It looks like it'll be a fun action movie. But Shazam, to me, is where it's at when it comes to DC right now.
The Rock has said that there's no mention of Superman or Shazam in that movie.
Yes.
Which seems crazy.
Yes.
It just seems really weird.
Well, I'm paraphrasing, but he essentially said Black Adam wakes up. He doesn't know that those people exist. So there's no mention of them, which would suggest that this movie happens pretty quickly, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. But still, it just feels, I don't know, like within for the audience that comes in,
yeah.
It does feel like you might want to explain why he has the exact same costume but black as Shazam.
Well, he shows up in the first Shazam movie. And the Wizard Shazam is in Black Adam. So there will be connections.
He's not
going to know that Billy Batson's out there with you.
That's fine. Okay, as long as they make the connections. The only reason why I say this is because Black Adam is among the more obscure characters until just a couple of years ago. And he only became less
obscure. I got yelled at on Twitter for saying that.
I know. I saw that. But it's true. And he only became less obscure because The Rock has been working on making this movie for the last 15 years. So like he ended up getting like more attention in the comics because they kept expecting this movie to come out. And so he got.
Well,
also,
Geoff Johns was a big.
He's a big
Black Adam
fan. Black Adam
he
guy,
kept,
yeah.
He put him in a lot of stuff as well.
But still, he doesn't have a public presence. And he's the villain. He's a Captain Marvel villain who also doesn't have a tremendously huge public presence. And it really is sort of strange to sort of introduce him in his own movie without making any connections explicit. Because you would think that this means there's going to be a movie where Shazam meets this guy.
Yes, you would think so.
But who knows? Maybe not.
Do you think that they try to get The Rock to wear the pointy ears and he wouldn't do it? Because in the comics, Black Adam has pointy ears.
I'm sure he nixed that immediately. They probably never even tried. I'm sure he immediately said, I'm just wearing a suit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just no way.
That's too bad.
That he would.
20 years.
Yeah, I think he doesn't
want to. Like, I knew he wouldn't have the hair because The Rock's not going to have the hair, but.
Right.
You know, I do like the pointy ears. Like, oh, that's too bad he doesn't have the pointy ears. That's too bad. That's why they made Hawkman's hawk ear so much bigger.
Exactly.
On his helmet.
So is that everything for DC?
That's everything for DC.
Man.
Yep.
I think that your theory that there's a fandom coming has got to be correct.
It must be. I just don't understand why you don't show Aquaman stuff at Comic-Con. Like, there's part of me that does think there's also a thought process of like, no matter what we show, we're going to get blown out of the water by Marvel. So let's not even bother.
So then tell Comic-Con that you want to go on Friday. Do you think if Warner Brothers can tell them what day they want to go? I guarantee it to you.
I don't disagree, but I think no matter what day they go, they're just not going to have control over stuff. But if
that's
they do
fine.
Fandome, for 2 years they've done Fandome and they control the weekend, I think that's better for them. I think that's their thought process.
I mean, yeah, no, I get it. But I mean, like, if you went Friday and dropped a little bit of Aquaman shit, you'd have 24 hours. That's the only thing. You know what I mean? Like, I get that you're going to get steamrolled by Marvel. Although I think that we didn't expect Marvel to steamroll them like this year.
Not this much. I mean, this is beyond steamrolling. This is
this is fully burying the body in the backyard. Yeah.
Yeah, this is craziness.
And they're going to come back in September and drop more shit too. That's the nuttiest part.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is brutal. So it is in the words of Mortal Kombat, a brutality.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's DC. DC kind of came up from behind, came out behind, and we're expecting Fandom. So that's our current thought process.
That would be my theory, is the Fandom is happening. They just have not announced it yet.
Marvel came out and revealed the entirety of Phase 5 and then some of Phase 6 and blew the roof off the joint.
Yes. They're like, here's the next 5 years, right? Or 3 years.
Not even. It's just 3 years. Just 3 years.
They are speeding up the phases, and I like it.
I think the phases are arbitrary right now.
The current one certainly is. Phase 4, considering that parts of Phase 4 just moved into Phase 5, all of a sudden, like, these are Phase 5 now. Like, that says something there, right? Like, there's not really – like, Phase 4 has no event ending. This will be the first of their phases not to have an event ending. And then Phase 5, I guess maybe Thunderbolts is an event ending, but we'll see.
Well, so here's my theory. And this theory is based on a little bit of information. I have a couple of things to talk about that I have a little bit of information about. But my number one theory, and this is a potential spoiler for folks that don't want to be spoiled about the post-credit sequence of Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. So I would say I'm going to have to mark this. Four Bushman
is going
to
show up. There you go. Just move on. Four Bushman is going to show up.
I'm going to have to mark this because this, I feel like, is actually a reasonable spoiler that some people are not going to want to know. And I'm going to put it in the show notes.
Is this a theory spoiler or is this a spoiler spoiler?
It's, I think, a spoiler spoiler. I got to say, I think it's a spoiler spoiler.
Okay.
I feel pretty good about it. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not telling you that this is 100% happening, but I feel pretty good about it. And anyway, so I'm going to have in the show notes when you should come back into the episode if you want to skip this spoiler. Are you ready for it?
Sure.
Actually, I'm going to just say you could skip ahead 30 seconds and you should be fine with missing this spoiler. Dr. Doom going to show up in the post-credit sequence of Black Panther.
I think everybody expects that.
But I think that makes it a pretty good ending point for Phase 4.
I disagree.
Well, they're totally arbitrary. They're just fundamentally arbitrary.
I mean, at this point, they are. Like the first three phases were not arbitrary endings, right? They each ended with an Avengers movie. And now Phase 4 ends with a Black Panther movie. And then at least two of the things that were for Phase 4 moved into Phase 5.
Yeah, and some of the Phase 4 stuff's actually, or Phase 5 stuff's moving to Phase 6.
Is it? Okay.
I didn't Armor Wars that. Disappeared.
Yeah, Armor Wars has vanished. That's true. I didn't think about that.
The head writer of Armor Wars went on Instagram to say the show is still happening.
Okay. Yeah, because I guess people were worried.
I mean, just it's weird that there's no mention of it.
Yes.
Because they had all but announced it. I think they'd actually straight up announced it previously. They were doing an Armor Wars
show. It was announced. Yeah, it was definitely announced.
And so then to have it not be on the roadmap gave people a little bit of pause.
Hesitation, a little worry. Yep.
But yeah, no, I mean, Phase 4, it's essentially meaningless. Although what I think in my head here is that Phase 4 is about resetting the table and introducing new characters, which is, I think, done a lot of.
Yes.
The number of new – I had written a thing about this, and I tried to list some of the new characters, and then I thought about it more. There's a gazillion new fucking characters in Phase 4.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
They're not all maintaining their own movies or whatever, but there's a gazillion of them.
Yeah.
And so then Phase 5 seems to me, if I had to guess, like we are going to be building up our villains who are going to be Thanos and Doom.
I don't think it's Thanos.
I'm not Thanos. Sorry. Kang in Doom.
Yeah.
By my brain. This is a Marvel brain. So I think that Kang is going to be jumping around in all of these things in a way that we're not prepared for yet.
I mean, he'll definitely be in Quantumania. He'll be in Loki 2, right?
He's probably going to be in Loki 2. But I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up in post-credit sequences or otherwise has impacts on a bunch of these different movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in weird ways that we're not seeing coming. Jonathan Majors does seem to feel like we're going to be seeing a lot of him.
Yes.
And the other piece of Kang is that the nature of Kang is that they can kill Kang in one of these movies.
Yes.
Like they can just off him and it doesn't make a difference because a different variant Kang shows up anyway. So it's very plausible we haven't even met the Kang who is going to be the Kang in Kang Dynasty.
Yes.
So it's kind of interesting. It's kind of weird and it's probably going to piss people off.
And I think the decision to move Ant-Man to the opener of Phase 5 is very purposeful to be like, here we go, we're kicking off the multiverse stuff, really kicking it off now, right?
Well, that was what Phase 4 was. Phase 4 introduced the multiverse in a big way.
It introduced it, but now we're kicking it off. You know, like Phase 1 introduced the Infinity Stones, but Phase 2 really kicked it off.
Right.
Right. So I think that's what this is.
What's funny is that there's a lot of complaints about Phase 4 not having like sort of like a structure or a meaning. And then I think that if you look back at Phases 1, 2, and 3, my biggest complaint about Phases 1, 2, and 3 has always been that the Infinity Stones are the world's stupidest MacGuffins because Thanos ends up with none of them until fucking Infinity War, and then he has to
bring them all. Thanos literally gets one off camera. I mean, that's craziness. That's still one of the craziest things to me is that they're just like, oh, I got that one from the Guardians of the Galaxy planet. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they had made like 17 fucking movies at that point, and they could not have him get them in any of those 17 movies. Yeah. I think that this speaks to sort of like, I think when people complain about the Marvel stuff and about the connected business and how they're only just planning what's coming next, that really speaks to me on how that's actually not that true. Because if you were planning, you would have had Thanos get that shit.
Yeah.
He appeared a couple of times. So it's like, it isn't like you couldn't have done it. Yeah. But you would have had him get those fucking gems. Instead, the movies dealt with the gems in their own ways, and the gems ended up at the end of the movie wherever they needed to be for the story of the movie. Like, we didn't just have Thanos show up and take it at the end, right? Yeah. And if you were definitely doing the kind of storytelling that everybody claims Marvel is doing, that's what would have happened.
Yeah, Thanos would have shown up at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy and like taken the gem from
right. He would have busted into fucking Thor, right? I mean, that's like that's how it would have happened. But like, he didn't, and then they have to have a whole goddamn movie where he's getting the gem, or a whole opening of a movie where he's getting the gems.
Yeah,
that's just a whole movie where he's getting the gems. We're fighting for that last gem into the last minutes.
Yeah, pretty wild.
It's very funny. It's very, very funny.
Yes,
and I think we're going to see the sort of a similar thing here. I think that we're going to see Kang showing up and doing essentially nothing of any significant consequence a lot of times.
Yeah, I would think so.
That's the mode, man. That's how it works in Marvel.
Which, in fairness to the Marvel movies, that is also the mode for Marvel comics or just comic crossovers in general, is the main villain pops up in every comic and just kind of stands around for a minute and then leaves. Right? Like, that's the basics, right? Like,
that is.
Like Secret Wars 2, Beyonder just shows up. He's like, I wonder what Daredevil is doing. And he looks at Daredevil and goes, there he is. And then he leaves. You know, like, it's always stuff like that. And then like in DC, when they were leading up to Crisis, the Monitor showed up in random comics and be like, something's going to happen soon. And they'd be like, what? He's like, I'll tell you later. And it's just leave. Right? It's like, what a weird thing to do. And this is how this works as well. They're following that format.
All right, so we're going to end. Let's begin. Let's go in release order with these things. So we'll go with Black Panther. We saw the trailer for Black Panther.
Is Black Panther the next movie? I guess it is the next movie.
That's the next movie. It's coming out this November.
Yeah.
It was, I'm going to just say this, it was an incredible trailer.
A fantastic trailer. Absolutely fantastic trailer.
Just an unfucking believable trailer. And I think that, again, this speaks to what the long form storytelling thing is all about, which is that you can have the first minute and a half of this trailer be everybody be really sad and you feel really sad too. Like for like a lot of complicated reasons, partially because you love the character and partially because the guy really died. It's like a very complicated thing. And I think they really handle it very nicely.
I think they do a very good job. Yeah.
But then it introduces Namor, the Submariner, or the Submariner. I've heard Stan Lee say Submariner.
Yes, that's, I believe that he said the Submariner, and in the 90s Captain America movie, the kid says Submariner.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites. I remember renting that movie, rushing home to watch it, and in the opening, the kid's like, my favorite's the Submariner. I was like, oh, this is going to be bullshit.
But that's how Stan Lee says it, though.
That is how Stan Lee says it. So.
Yeah, because it's Submariner. But he didn't
create him, so fuck Stan Lee on that
That's a good point. We knew that Namor was coming. This had not been announced, but we all knew. We had talked about it on this podcast before. We had seen
they released shirts with him on it. They
released shirts with him on it. He looks, there is a shot in this trailer of him coming down into his Megalodon shark mouth throne that is so fucking cool. Oh, and awesome. I think really captures the Namorness of it all.
Yes. Although that's not my favorite shot in the trailer.
What's your favorite shot in the trailer?
My favorite shot in the trailer is where we are apparently seeing the birth of Namor.
Yes.
And the doctor holds him up and he's got the umbilical cord. And it looks like the doctor is going to use his Coke nail to cut the umbilical cord. Like he just has like a pinky Coke nail and he's going to cut it with that.
What's amazing in that shot is that when little baby Namor was born, he has the ankle wings.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if they were going to make the ankle. We knew he has ankle wings from some concept art.
Was it on like his suit, or was it actually going to be part of him?
Right, it's just his fucking shoes, right? But like, no, it's he has ankle wings.
Yes, that's very exciting to me.
You know, we talked about this a little bit before, but I think that the decision to make Atlantis, or whatever they're calling it in this movie, heavily South American civilization inspired, is just one of the best moves Marvel's made.
It's brilliant.
Period.
Yeah. It helps separate it from Aquaman. It has its own feel. It's very interesting. It's very exciting.
And it has the sense of a complete civilization as a result. Like, you recognize these things. And it really feels real because you recognize these things. But you don't see these things in movies very much.
No. No, you don't. So it's very exciting.
I'm gonna mangle this guy's name. Tenoch Huerta plays Namor. I thought he looked incredible. I thought that he had such incredible presence, even in the very short looks that we got at him. It's pretty crazy that it's going to come out a month before Avatar.
Yep.
Because it's got blue tribal people swimming underwater a lot, which is exactly what Avatar 2 is going to be. And like, they got to get it out before Avatar 2. Like, you have to. You can't have this come out after Avatar 2, it feels like, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then the larger struggle, the idea
that Atlantis, I've seen that online. Some people have been like, oh, they're just trying to do Avatar. And it's like, well, they... Atlanteans and Marvel have been blue for
forever,
ever, right? Like for ages.
But I tweeted about this. I found myself really excited about this for like weird reasons, which is that Namor is one of the oldest Marvel superheroes.
Yes.
He's 82 years old. And you proved me wrong, but he's one of the earliest superhero crossover characters.
Yes. But the first two superhero crossovers happened in, or team ups, if you will, happened in the same like 4 month span.
Yeah. So they were all working on it at the same time. This isn't like one was influenced by the other. No. In issue 9 of Marvel Mystery Comics, he crossed over with the Human Torch. Namor's rampaging through the city and the Human Torch has to come and stop him. I've always thought it was funny they called him the Human Torch because I guess he became an android later, right?
No, he was an android from his first appearance.
From his first appearance, and they called him the Human Torch anyway. I can't remember which parts are retcons. But like, this whole thing that Marvel does with the crossovers and the characters cameoing or whatever, that's where it begins. That's it. Like 1930 fucking nine.
Yeah.
That's where it begins.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's like in the DNA of superhero comics. It's right
there. It's right there. And we're finally, he has never been in live action before. Like a lot of the big Marvel characters have appeared in some kind of live action. Never been in live action before.
He's not in either of the Fantastic Four movies.
Yep.
That's wild.
It is wild. A lot of the big characters had shown up in some format or another in live action, and he never had. I don't think
Was he at Spider-Man's wedding?
He might have been. I think he was. He might have been, actually. They had a weird Namor suit. I think he's probably shown up a couple of times in cartoons. They have enough
sure. Fantastic Four cartoons. He's definitely shown up in cartoons.
But he's never been a major player even in those cartoons, though.
No.
And Namor is one of my favorite characters in that corner of the Marvel Comics universe.
Yeah.
Because he's a character, for those who don't know, he is the ruler of Atlantis. I don't know what they're going to call it in Black Panther. And he has his own reason for doing things. So sometimes he's a villain and sometimes he's a hero because his motivations are always about his own people. Yes. And so he's a fun character for that reason, because you never know when he shows up if he's going to be beating the shit out of your heroes or if he's going to be helping your heroes.
Well, it's great because like in the old comics, like the original Timely comics, Atlas Timely comics, would be like him fighting a bunch of Nazis and he beats up the Nazis. And then like the American ship comes up, is like, thanks, Submariner. He's like, fuck you. Like, he's not on either side. He's like, I don't like any of you people being in the water. Get the fuck out of my space.
Yeah,
he was, of all the characters, like Marvel often gets compared in some ways to, like, the classic Universal monsters.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most like them, where his thing is like, I'm not on anyone's side here.
Right.
I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I just want you all to fuck off and leave me alone. And that's, like, his deal. until he starts running like corporations and stuff in the 80s.
The other part of his deal is that
I want to bang Sue Storm.
That's the other part of his deal. He got a huge boner for Sue Storm for The Invisible Woman. And I'm excited for that to be in the movies.
Yes, I hope
I'm excited. That is. It has to be, because that's too good. That's too juicy a thing not to have it be. And but in the comics.
Is that going to be an actual story, or is it going to be like a quick aside in like one of the movies where everybody comes together and he's going to look at her back, what's your name? And Mr. Fantastic will be like, she's taken.
It could go either way. He's not going to have his own movie, it seems like. So he could be showing up in Fantastic Four 2 or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's space for him to show up. And there's obviously he's going to definitely show up in some crossover Avenger movie or whatever. So I don't know if they're going to do like a full storyline on it or if they're just going to have it be like acknowledged. But either way, I'll be happy, frankly. Yeah. I'm just very excited. I thought that the footage looked incredible.
Beautiful.
It's gorgeous, right? The use of color is unbelievable.
It looked absolutely beautiful.
And what is happening? You have your phone on? What's going on?
Yeah.
Amateur business. And I thought that it was gorgeous, and I thought that some of the imagery was incredible. I thought that all of the Atlanteans on the big whales was so fucking cool. It was so fucking cool.
Yes, it was.
And that's the kind of big, cool, weird imagery that I want to see more of in my comic book movies.
Well, it's interesting that the underwater guys so far have like the coolest of that kind of stuff, right? Because like Aquaman, you have like the crab people fighting and all that kind of stuff. And that was awesome, right? We all agree that was awesome.
Right.
And now you have this where it's like, we're riding around on whales and stuff. We're doing crazy stuff. It's like, that's awesome.
And, I think it's cooler. Like in Aquaman, I thought it was very, very cool. They did really good stuff in Aquaman, but they did a lot of like people riding their own individual fish. I like the idea of like 100 guys holding onto a fucking blue whale.
Yes. Yeah.
Like the blue whale is like a fucking carrier. It's a personnel carrier.
Yeah. But we didn't see any giant like crab guys being like, this is the day we die. And it's like, fuck yes.
No, we didn't. You know? We don't have that. I don't think we're going to get there.
What's your name? What isn't voicing the Kraken in Black Panther 2 from what I know?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be getting that. I don't think we're getting that. But I thought it was just incredible looking. I did not agree with the Phase 4 is bad thing. I've just enjoyed the individual pieces. I didn't need
it. I think Phase 1, 2, and 3, it's got some good stuff. It's got some not so good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And there's more stuff.
Shockingly, the not so good stuff in all the phases is Thor. So
it's got more stuff. So that, you know, but this was the first time in all of these phases that I watched a trailer for one of these, for this phase, I mean, that I watched a trailer for something and I was like, oh, I am fucking psyched. You know what I mean?
I was psyched for Eternals. When that trailer came out, I was really psyched.
Oh, no, I was really excited too. It feels different for me in a weird way. Like, I was excited. I think I was excited. I was nervous. I was like excited, like in a, like, let's see how this works out kind of a way.
Yeah.
And I ended up loving it. Right. But this, I'm excited in a, oh, this is going to be one of my favorite movies of the year. Like they're going to have to fuck it up for me not to love this.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is not what I felt watching the Eternals trailers. Like I felt like, huh, this could really go either way. This could be really interesting. This could get really strange or be really bad. But this one, I'm like, oh, this, you know, this is going to be incredible.
Yeah. And I mean, it's got quite the, you know, it's got a good crew behind it.
Yeah. So I mean, it's got Ryan Coogler, who's one of the greats. And there were people online being like, oh, they're exploiting Chadwick Boseman.
I don't
think so. One, Ryan Coogler wouldn't. Ryan Coogler loved him. They were friends.
I don't think Marvel would.
I don't think Marvel would. Well, maybe they would. They're a corporation. But number two. But
I think if they were going to exploit him, they would have recast the role as well.
That's not it. That would not exploit him.
But no, like, or let me
rephrase. If you recast the role, they
would have brought in somebody and be like, this is the new Black Panther, but we're going to pay respects. Like, because if it's, you know, that would be their move. Although we see at the end of the trailer,
there's a new Black Panther. I mean, so, yeah, they're still doing that. But I think the other thing is that Chadwick Boseman tweeted about this movie.
Huh?
The Chadwick Boseman Twitter account tweeted about this movie.
Okay.
So I suspect that the Chadwick Boseman family, who must run that account,
yes,
feels like this is an honor and paying respect to him.
I would not be surprised to find out if they were on set for like a week or something or a day or so. You know, like
100%. If you find out that like his family,
mural we made to your son,
they're in it. They're background. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that would not be surprising to me at all.
Okay, so that's going to be exciting. It's going to be an exciting episode of Watchmen later on this year.
Can we do a fake theorizing on who the new Black Panther is? Because it's really obvious.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Shuri. Right? Like, it seems pretty obvious to me.
Yeah, it definitely is Shuri. It seems quite clear, although there was a lot of rumors that they had rewritten that because of her vaccine issues.
I don't think so.
But it seems to me from the imagery of who the new Black Panther spreading their claws, yeah. It does not seem to be – everybody thought it would be M'Baku would be the new Black Panther that they had rewritten to make that the case. That
is definitely not his M'Baku own. Or what's his face, the bad guy in the first movie?
Killmonger.
Yeah. And it's like, well, he's dead.
Well, don't be surprised if you see Killmonger in this movie.
I think we'll see him in like that afterlife space.
I would not be surprised if that is the case.
And he took the purple flower, right?
So he sure did. He sure did. All right. So that's the end of Phase 4. Then they announced all of Phase 5. And yes. It's quite a list. Opens with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. They showed a trailer.
Yes.
Which I watched which
leaked online version. And I did not watch it because it's 90% the ceiling and some guy's jacket.
Well, you know what's funny is that as the thing goes on, he adjusts it. So like slowly the screen begins to take up more and more space. I was not watching it to like get a good look at it. I was watching it to get the vibe of it.
Yeah.
And the vibe of it seems pretty interesting. So we see that Scott Lang has become a celebrity. He has written a book.
Yes. He's got a podcast.
He's got a podcast. Well, he's on podcasts at least. He's recording the audiobook of his book, I believe.
Yeah. Well, I was talking about in Ms. Marvel.
He's been on podcasts in Ms. Marvel. He's a celebrity. And then at some point in the trailer, his daughter Cassie gets sucked into the microverse. Now they call it the quantum realm. Because they can't call it the microverse because that was with the Micronauts, which was a licensed comic that Marvel produced, where they created a lot of lore, Marvel Comics lore in a licensed comic. They did a lot of Conan shit too in the main continuity. They had not learned their lesson yet.
Recently,
just like Conan's last year.
Right now, and they just lost the rights to him. And they're like, oh, I imagine they're like, oh, we're in the middle of a Conan storyline.
Yeah, it's like you would think that they would have learned the lesson. They had a fucking Godzilla comic that took place in the Marvel Universe.
Yep.
Like S.H.I.E.L.D. fighting Godzilla.
Transformers took place in the Marvel Universe.
They took it out pretty quickly.
Yes.
It was like Sandman.
Yeah.
Where Sandman is like very early on in the DC Universe, and then they just sort of go, maybe not.
Yeah.
They don't do anything. 2001
takes place in the Marvel Universe?
It definitely does, because Machine Man is a character from the 2001 comic that Jack Kirby did. That's a crazy comic because he did that comic like 8 years after 2001.
Yes.
That was not a tie-in comic. It was just a thing he wanted to do, I guess.
I thought it was to coincide with 2010.
No, it was in the 70s.
Okay, I didn't realize.
2010 is the middle of the 80s.
Yeah, but that's what I thought it was.
No, 2010. 2001 is in the 70s. In my brain.
Yeah.
Anyway.
My favorite, before we move on, my favorite of all of these things is, what's that character's name? There's that weird.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Well, there's a character that they introduced, that Marvel UK introduced in their Transformers comic, that crossed over with Doctor Who, and he shows up in the Marvel comics all the time too. I want to say it's Deathshead, but it's not Deathshead, but something like that. And maybe it is Deathshead. Yeah, it is. It's like Deathshead 2, right? Is his name. Yeah. So he originally appeared in Transformers comics, and then he showed up in Doctor Who comics, and now he just shows up in Marvel every now and again. Which means that Doctor Who is running around Marvel.
Well. Seems plausible. So they go into the quantum realm to get Cassie. And in the quantum realm, they run into Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Who seems to be final role. Seems to be Janet Van Dyne's ex-boyfriend, potentially.
Yeah.
Because there's like there's a shot to Hank looking very unhappy that Bill Murray is saying, Janet Van Dyne. Well, I never. I'm pretty sure that Bill Murray is playing a character who appeared briefly in an Incredible Hulk issue in the 1980s when Incredible Hulk was shrunk down into the microverse.
Okay.
There's a two-parter, and he's a character who this is what Marvel does sometimes. They just pull a character name out.
Yeah.
So it's
cleared by legal. They don't have to worry about it.
They got it. It's just all there. And then they can give podcasts and websites the ability to write, who is so-and-so, his Marvel history. But then at some point, two other characters show up. One is MODOK.
Yes.
who it turns out is Corey Stoll, who despite seeming to have been turned into goo in the first Ant-Man.
Well, here's the thing. Which Corey Stoll is it?
Oh, you think it might be an alternate universe?
Yeah, you're bringing in Kang. Right? Like, we're starting all of that stuff. We're doing all of this.
Well, it's funny because I did not see the image, but what I read was that the MODOK is pretty comic accurate, except that he's all gold, which would indicate that he's using his yellow jacket armor.
Yeah.
To create his MODOK seat.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the exact deal is, but like that they got like a fucking comic accurate MODOK and it's Corey Stoll's big giant head.
That's pretty fantastic.
Is incredible. Peyton Reed is one of the greatest of all time for doing this.
Yeah.
And then Kang shows up in the trailer. It's like, it's also unclear what his exact role is here. But he has one of my favorite lines in this trailer, which is he's like in what looks to be a very serious sequence. Paul Rudd's Ant-Man says, you know, you mess with me, you're messing with everybody else because I'm an Avenger. And Kang says, you're an Avenger? Have I killed you already?
That's a great line.
It's a great line. And it really just, I think it really sums up who Kang is, like the time traveling guy. Like he doesn't live a linear life. In fact, he has a voiceover where he talks about how he doesn't live a linear life and he sees time differently than we do. But that really sums it up. Like, oh, I'm running into you. Have I killed you yet? Like, have you come back to life from me killing you or have I not killed you yet?
Yeah.
So that was really, really terrific. I really, really enjoyed that trailer from what I could see in an illegal bootleg.
Yes. Following that is Secret Invasion, spring 2023.
Yes, they showed a little trailer for that. We're not really clear. Secret Invasion, by the way, I think is another example of the Marvel post-credit scenes are really just thrown together with no thought as to what's going to happen next. Because Maria Hill
has to do a Secret Invasion.
Right, because Maria Hill has to call Nick Fury back from space.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to do that. Like, why send him to space and have a scene where he's in space and you're establishing that he's exploring space to just his next appearance be come home?
Yeah.
It's crazy because there's no thought in it. They just go, let's do this. And it worked out for Spider-Man because he needed to not be in Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, even though he's all over Spider-Man.
He's not in it. It's not really him. Yeah. It's what's his name?
And it's a great Mendelsohn trick out because when the first time I saw him Far From Home, I'm like, why is Nick Fury's acting a little weird? And
then
at the end, it's like, oh, it's not him. Oh, that's pretty well done.
Yeah, it's really well done. And it's really good too because it's the function for how Peter trusts Mysterio enough to give him the Edith technology.
Yes.
It's because Nick Fury vouched for him. So like in that world, Nick Fury says this guy's on the up and up. He's the world's greatest spy. Of course he knows everything about this guy.
Yeah.
But that to me, the fact that Maria Hill has to call Nick Fury back to Earth indicates to me that they just did not know what to do with. They just put him in space and said, we'll figure it out later. Yeah. And then when they open the show, they go, ah, fuck, how do we get him back from space? I mean, the answer should have been he's in space and discovers that there's a Skrull conspiracy on Earth.
Yes.
Like in his space adventures, he comes across this information. So he returns to Earth. But that's not the angle they're going with.
Nope. They're going a different way with it.
I don't know what else. My understanding is they've done some pretty big reshoots on it recently.
Yes. I saw a wonderful headline that said Secret Invasion does reshoots to make it better. And it's like, well, you don't do it to make it worse. Like that's never the goal. No one's ever like, let's film new stuff that makes it bad. Like that's
one of my understandings is that one of the reasons why they did reshoots is because in the original Secret Invasion, this is definitely true because I had seen them doing shooting and we had seen photos from shooting. Some of the scenes took place in Ukraine. I think there's like explosions and terrorism.
Yeah.
And I think they needed to reshoot to make it not be Ukraine.
And they're like, this Ukraine's not going to be done by 2023. So
yeah, and it's going to be, it's too soon, even if it is done, but it won't be done.
Weird messages at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need to put like one of those fucking, So like, let's just make it a different country and like, we'll, or a fake country or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's part of what the reshoots are because apparently there's a significant Ukraine presence in the film.
Interesting. I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's a miniseries, by the way.
I mean. Excuse me. Anyway. Okay, that seems interesting. I mean, that's one of the ones I'm less excited about. But they did not give us a lot of information to up my levels of excitement.
No, not too much there. May 5th, 2023, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which apparently made everybody cry.
Yeah, they used Do You Realize by Flaming Lips, one of those songs that does make you automatically cry.
Yes.
It's like cheat mode. It's like activating crying cheat mode to play do you realize?
Although it led to my favorite Twitter exchange from Comic-Con.
Which is what?
Where somebody tweeted to James Gunn. Was like, are you going to use songs like Do You Realize in the movie? And he's like, am I going to use songs like Do You Realize that's in the trailer?
Yes. He's like, yeah, I'm going to use songs exactly like Do You Realize because I'm using the song Do You Realize. Actually, you can't tell. Putting a song in a trailer does not necessarily mean the song.
I think with James Gunn, you can feel secure.
It does feel more reasonable.
Yeah.
So we have learned that this movie is about the origin of Rocket.
Yes.
Gunn said some interesting stuff where he's like, I started thinking about, like, where did Rocket come from? I'm like, well, in the comics, he comes from Toy World. Like, we know where he comes from. Like, he's like, it's not even a question. But, like, in his universe, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's very different. Yeah, he can't go down that
And path. Clearly the High Evolution.
Although I bet he will pull some of the stuff out of there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I am curious, in the original Rocket Raccoon, in the miniseries that told his origin and his story, it is heavily influenced by the Beatles song Rocky Raccoon, which is what the character's name is based on.
Yeah.
So there's like, you know, there are characters from the song that are in his story.
Well, he's looking for like a space Bible, isn't he? That's his original.
Yeah, he's looking for Gideon's Bible.
In the song, he's looking for Gideon's Bible, but in the comics, it's called something else, right? It's like,
I think it's still called Gideon's
Bible. Like the Galactic Bible or something
like that? I think it might still be called Gideon's.
Is it?
Or might be called the Book of Gideon. Anyway, but yeah, so characters and concepts from the song pop up in this story. I'm curious if Gunn's going to use any of them. He clearly knows they exist.
Yes.
And the ability to tie it into a song is interesting, but whether or not he thinks it's too silly, because it is silly. It is silly. Yeah. It's purposefully silly. They were being silly with it.
I heard they travel back in time and they crash in front of four guys in Liverpool and Peter says, Rocket, we got to get out of here. And one of the guys says, Rocket, Rocky Raccoon. And there you go.
They showed Adam Warlock.
Yes.
People seem to like it. We haven't seen it, and it has not leaked yet.
Nope. And the High Evolutionary walked through the crowd and hung out.
And had no – it was sort of a bust.
Yes.
From the footage that I watched.
Yeah.
Did
that play?
Nobody knows who that is.
No.
Now, you would think at a thing called Comic-Con
– people would know what that is.
But they don't. They have no fucking clue.
To the point that James Gunn came and took the mic away. He's like, this is not working. And he took his mic away.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's too bad because it is cool for that guy who is delightful and Peacemaker. And again, whose name I'm not going to try.
And he looked great. He looked awesome.
It was cool. It was a cool outfit.
I was excited watching it. I was like, oh, man, look at that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. Yeah.
They definitely thought that was going to be their Loki moment and it did not.
It just didn't pop. I think that having – what's his name come out as Adam Warlock would have been better, but I think that painting him all gold would have been difficult.
I think having what's his name come out as Namor would have worked better.
Yeah, when we have a naked man on stage, it's going to always go a little bit bigger. I mean, I'm not going to hold that against the movie. That's not the movie's fault. That is the audience's fault. I guess we're getting Rocket's origin. We're getting Peter Quill coming to terms with the fact that Gamora, while back to life, is gone. And in fact, she's the leader of the Ravagers now.
Yes. Crazy. Crazy.
Again reiterated this is the end for Guardians of the Galaxy. The story's end.
This is the end for Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're not going to erase the words from the English language.
Like they're definitely leaving it open. Like, we might do a new Guardians of the Galaxy team.
A new team. But like these characters, this is going to be the end of the story.
For some of them, at least. Yes.
For some of them, yeah. I'm kind of curious how the characters end and like how that's going to work.
I imagine at least two of them will die.
Yeah, it's a James Gunn movie. It's a pretty good assumption.
Yeah.
Good chance that Rocket dies. Drax has to die. Drax has to die because his family's dead, right? So like his ultimate thing is to go be with him in the afterlife.
His thing was to get Thanos, and Thanos is dead. So he's got nothing. Yeah. He's left with there's nothing left. And then you have Mantis mourning over him.
Right.
Right. So he's mourned. And then Rocket, I don't think he'll kill Rocket. I don't think Rocket will die.
I mean, he has said that Rocket Raccoon is the character in his movies that is most like him.
Yes.
So it would be psychologically interesting if he killed Rocket.
Yes. Yeah. But I don't think he will. I could see Quill dying. I could see that happening.
Yeah, I could see it. I don't think it'll happen.
Probably not. But I could see it at least being left where we might think Quill is dead, but maybe he can come back, like that kind of death.
Yeah, I think that Quill might kill Star-Lord, if that makes sense.
Yes.
and then try to become just a different guy and live happily, quietly.
I'll become Quasar.
Well, there, also there's the possibility of time travel shenanigans.
Yep.
Because this is the Kang phase.
Yep.
So it's not, who even knows? He may go back in time and do something. You know what I mean? Like, it's like not clear.
He could.
But Guardians of the Galaxy got a great response. I'm excited about it. They've all been good. So I have no reason to expect this to not be great.
I'm sure it's going to be great. I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. Following that, we have Summer 2023 Echo.
The show that nobody asked for, that I'm very interested in why it's happening.
They were apparently impressed enough making Hawkeye that they're like, we should do this.
Having seen Hawkeye, I don't get it. And the character's not that popular. And, the idea of having a deaf superhero is cool. I'm like for the character. I just kind of don't understand why we're getting a TV show about her.
Yeah.
Like out of all of the characters to do TV shows about, this is the one that maybe I understand the least out of all of the show, out of all the things they've announced her, actually her and Agatha, the ones that I'm like, okay,
Agatha, I get.
Well, like she popped, right?
Like, yeah, she popped. She was like, bam. Like, I'm not saying like I get why they would be like, hey, we got a story for her. But I can see them being like, people fucking love this.
She popped and they don't have other magic stuff happening. So they want to keep the magic shit rolling. Yeah. That makes sense. Echo, I don't quite get. But I guess we'll find out. They're shooting it right now. Yeah. I just got an email about extras being needed for Echo. So it's still happening.
There you go.
Loki season two.
Yeah, following that is Loki season two.
Where at least a significant amount of time in this season is going to take place in a McDonald's.
That's interesting.
Because they've had paparazzi photos of them in what looks to be a 1970s or 1980s model McDonald's. And they've been on that set for a lot of days.
That's great. Go for
it. So there's going to be some kind of story point that involves a 1970s or 1980s McDonald's.
Get that tie-in money.
Well, which I think I'll enjoy as – maybe you will too. As a child of that era. It will feel very nostalgic if they had like a birthday party at that McDonald's.
The weirdest thing that I'm going to be looking for is, are there going to be ashtrays on the tables?
That will be interesting. But I can't imagine they will, but maybe they will.
Because that's what, when I think back to my childhood at McDonald's, that's one of the things that always pops in my head is the glass yellow ashtrays with the McDonald's logo.
Remember them being tin.
I remember glass ones. I remember the tin ones as well, but I remember glass ones. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
So Loki season two, excited about it. Really enjoyed Loki season one. Good. More of the same. Please. Thank you. Appreciate it. They in the paparazzi photos, they are dressed in what appear to be TVA outfits.
Okay.
So there's more TVA stuff happening.
I imagine Kang is going to show up in Loki season two.
Has to.
Right? I would think so. Has to.
There's no way he doesn't.
Yeah. I would think so. July 28th, 2023, The Marvels.
Some really fascinating rumors have been popping up about this movie.
A musical sequence.
A lengthy musical. They go to a planet where everybody sings.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Also, I have had somebody contacting me and telling me that the characters all switch spots. The main captains and Ms. Marvel all switch spots. It's part of how the story comes together. Okay. But there's some kind of connection between them.
Oh, interesting.
It is interesting, right?
I'm interested to see because I like two of those three characters.
Yeah, me too. And then the third character that I was not that wild about, like this opportunity to make her better.
Yes, we'll see what they do. November 3rd, Blade.
Really Mahershala Ali playing Blade. Yeah. He made his appearance in the Marvel Universe in Eternals in one of the weirder post-credit scenes.
Strangest, where he's like, hey, and then that's it.
I like swords too.
Hey, is this where the sword convention is?
So weird. So truly weird.
You like swords, huh? Wait till you get a load of my name.
We know nothing about it except that we think it's going to be PG-13.
Yes.
Which I think is fine. And people are like, oh, how can you do a non-R-rated Blade? I'm like, it's going to be fine.
It's the fine. Same way they've done them in the comics for generations.
Yeah, I mean, like, the vampires just don't have to fucking bleed immense amount of blood. Like, they just turn to dust or goo. It's fine. Like, it's going to be fine. Like, in fact, you could probably do, like, a lot of violence against vampires in a PG-13 because they're, like, undead or whatever. Like, you could, like, things off or whatever.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Following that is Ironheart in fall 2023.
So we got our first
– her in Black Panther.
the Black Panther trailer. We saw her in the Black Panther trailer. We saw her in a shot that is reminiscent of the first Iron Man, where she is working on her armor.
And can I tell you my theory on that?
What's that?
And I know this isn't going to be the way. I imagine that as being like a very Max Fisher Rushmore moment where she's created a play about Tony Stark and she's playing Tony Stark.
That would be incredible, but that is not going to be the case.
That's not going to be the case, but that would be so great if that's what that scene is.
Very excited about that program too, because I think it's a character who's interesting, and I think it's also a lot of wide open space, and also they've hired Alden Ehrenreich to be in that one.
Yes.
And rumor is that he's playing Zebediah Stane, the son of Obadiah Stane, the villain of the very first Marvel villain.
Yeah, there you go. Following that is Agatha, Coven of Chaos. That's a new title.
That's a new title. We know nothing else about it.
What was the original title? House of...
House of something or other. Yeah.
Oh, House of Harkness.
House of Harkness. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they gave it. So Coven of Chaos indicates that they've actually figured out the story.
Yes.
To me, like, to change the title like that indicates that they've figured out what the story is.
Yes.
And that makes sense, because they're gonna have to start fucking shooting that.
No.
Oh no, actually no, that's 2024, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the end of 2023, 2024. So they got time.
Yeah. So they got time. They got a minute and a half.
But they've been working it out. They've been figuring it out.
Yeah, they've been figuring it out.
Yeah. And then comes the thing that is going to lead to my death. 18 episodes of Daredevil Born Again in spring 2024.
They've got Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio back. 18 episodes is insane.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't really know what's happening here. I think that there's an argument. My hope
is they're pulling like an old school Nickelodeon and every episode is 15 minutes.
I've seen some people make that joke online.
It's like
there'll be 3 hours when it's all said and done. Yeah,
it's like Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Like, probably not. They're probably gonna be 45 minutes to an hour. I am very curious why
18 hours. Fucking Nelson.
Oh, God. A lot of rumors they're bringing that whole cast back.
Of course they are.
So it's very fascinating. 18 hours is a lot. Born Again is a really interesting title to use here. It's obviously meta.
Yes.
Because they're saying here comes Daredevil in our universe now. Yeah. But in the rumors, and I believe this to be true, first of all, I have been told, and we saw this in the She-Hulk trailer, which we did not talk about.
He's got the red and yellow suit.
He's got a different suit. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure what the exact continuity is going to be. My understanding, and what makes the most sense, is they're not going to go out of their way to invalidate the previous episodes.
Yeah.
But they're also not going to go out of their way to make their shit work with it.
Well, those previous ones were on a different Earth. It's a multiverse.
Maybe. Yeah. I think.
But also a lot of things are similar, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's like if you watch the show, you get the gist of it. Like, it's, yeah. But the thing is, they already did a Born Again on that program.
Okay. Well, I felt like they were just using the name. Like, it's not actually going to be the story from the comic.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's funny because that's what Marvel does a lot, right? They just use the fucking name. But Born Again is one of those really famous storylines. It's probably one of the most famous. It's the most famous Daredevil story.
It's definitely the most famous Daredevil story. Yeah.
But, 18 episodes, that's a lot. I mean, I'm assuming that we're going to get, like, Echo in there. We might see Kate Bishop in there. We might see other characters pop up. If you're going to get 18 solid episodes.
Jessica Jones and Punisher.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if they bring those characters back. They have not announced that yet.
No.
I would be happy to have Punisher back.
I still would like them to do my idea for a Punisher show.
Which is what?
Which is that Punisher is not the main character. Punisher is essentially Jason Voorhees. And you're following mafia guys. And every now and then he shows up and just murders people. And it vanishes again. And, like, it's the story of them trying to get him or get away from him. I think that'd be much more interesting. Make him, like, a slasher.
I don't think that would really work, but I appreciate the premise. I think you could do
that'd be fun.
You could do
much more interesting.
You could do a good issue of a comic like that. I don't think that you could do a movie or a TV program where all that we're following is characters who we're rooting for to die. That's the thing about slasher movies, is that we spend a lot of time with characters that we're rooting for to die, and those movies last about 90 minutes.
Yeah, that's all you need. I'm not saying we need 30 episodes or anything. I'm saying a quick 90-minute R-rated movie of Daredevil or Punisher being Jason Voorhees.
I mean, yeah, that's definitely an interesting angle. I doubt that's where they'll go, but it is interesting, original angle that I have not heard anybody else bring up.
I think that'd be cool.
But yeah, 18 episodes feels really intense to me. It makes me nervous because the Netflix show had the world's worst pacing. And I'm concerned that
this has got to be all new people behind it, right?
I don't know. Like there's no guarantee.
Jeff Loeb and stuff, are they?
Well, Jeff Loeb will not be back, but like, is the showrunner back? Maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, they haven't announced. I would love to have them to have told us some of this information.
Yeah.
But that's going to be 18 episodes is 4 months. So that's going to be a whole quarter of the year, a third of
the year. This is a real monkey's paw situation where, once again, evidence that Kevin Feige listens is to us talking about Ms. Marvel and how it should have been like 18 episodes. And he's like, okay, we'll do that with Daredevil. It's like, no.
What would be really cool, character. I would actually be okay with Daredevil being 18 episodes if they do the thing that Netflix never did, which is integrate the lawyering.
Yep.
And I know they already have She-Hulk Attorney at Law, so they maybe don't want to double up on lawyering, but maybe double up on lawyering maybe is the answer here.
Yeah. Or if it's not just one long 18-hour story. You know,
right? Like you could do like a overarching story that has mini arcs, over the course of 18 episodes.
Yeah, like how the CW shows handle it.
I will say that up until now,
even that I think would work well. What they started doing with Flash in later seasons was each season is like 18 episodes, but each arc is 9 episodes. So it's like this is volume 1, this is volume 2, like, and that's kind of how they started looking at them, and that worked out I think pretty well.
Right. I mean, I guess we'll see. Who knows what the exact nature of it's going to be. If they do some lawyering, I think you can get some variety in there.
The main thing is if it's 18 episodes of Daredevil finding out something and the next episode is Foggy finding out the same thing, that's going to kill me.
Yeah.
That's just going to be too much. They got to change it up. They got to not follow what they did on Netflix.
The thing is that the one thing is that 18 episodes indicates that at least one problem with most of the Marvel TV shows will not be the case here, which is that most Marvel TV shows feel like they probably should have made them a movie.
Yes.
That's been a real problem with a lot of these shows, even the ones I truly enjoy. Ms. Marvel's the only one that felt like a TV show to me. Yeah. I guess WandaVision too, right? Because it had that episodic nature. But like, you know, Falcon and Captain America should have just been a Falcon and Winter Soldier. I mean, should have just been a movie.
Yeah.
And there's Hawkeye no reason.
It could have been a movie.
Right. There was no element to it that said this needed to be a TV series.
Yes.
You know, this could have been a good 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
And you probably would have lost very little, frankly.
What if Daredevil Born Again is just him watching all the different Marvel movies and catching up on the universe before he starts his own story?
Hi, my name is Daredevil and I'm here to watch
and they do it like MST style. So it's like him, Foggy and Karen Page are on the bottom of the screen just watching.
No, it's him and Wilson Fisk. Him and Kingpin. It's him and
Wilson Fisk. Yeah.
And they're like arguing between each other a whole bunch in the middle of it.
That'd be funny.
Phase 5 ends.
No, we're not there yet.
What else we got?
Captain America, New World Order.
That's phase 5 ends.
No, that's not the end of phase 5.
What? That is the end of phase 5.
Nope, Thunderbolts is the end of phase 5. Thank you.
Oh. Yeah, I'm looking at a bad picture here. They had not filled in the Thunderbolts on this picture. Somebody took a picture and they had not waited for Thunderbolts to show up. Captain America New World Order. It's going to be Sam Wilson as Captain America. We have no information about this whatsoever.
Nope.
New World Order does not give us a lot of information. There is a New World Order storyline in the Captain America comics. It is the Red Skull creates a group called the New World Order.
Yeah.
But it's not a good storyline and it's not a big storyline and it doesn't have a lot going for it.
I hope that they're going to do the story where Captain America goes and finds out that the president is the head of Serpent Society and then the president kills himself.
So, you know what? So I think that one of the big problems with Falcon and Winter Soldier was that it falls into the territory of our villains are left-wingers who have gone too far. I really want to see Captain America beat the shit out of right-wingers. Like, I really want to see that. And so what I really hope – I tweeted about this and I was only semi-joking. I would like to see, like, Hatemonger as the villain.
Yes, I would love to see Hatemonger.
That would be really good.
Well, I don't think it would be Hitler. I saw your tweet, and this would be my theory, because in the comics, if you don't know, Hatemonger has the brain of Hitler.
So the first time Hatemonger shows up, he is a clone of Hitler. He is killed, and Arnim Zola takes the clone's mind, his brain, and puts it in another body. So it's Hitler's clone's brain.
And to know, if I remember correctly, when he first appears, which was in Fantastic Four, if I remember correctly.
That is correct.
He's out there getting people to rough up hippies and stuff. He's like, these hippies, they're the worst. They're going to destroy America. You know, and so that's interesting.
He makes the Fantastic Four hate each other and they break up. He's able to do that with his hate ray. Yeah. But yeah, he is hate monger who wears a purple Ku Klux Klan hood, is Hitler with a hate ray. He's had a couple of different variations on him. He's died, come back as different guys a couple of times. But the premise of a guy who creates hatred among Americans feels incredibly timely. And like the kind of thing that Captain America, we feel very refreshing to see. It's a kind of problem that we can't solve in the real world by punching a guy in the face.
Yes.
But Captain America,
you can do it on the cover of a comic.
Yeah. And that's going to feel really satisfying. I would love to see that be the villain in the story. The other character I'd be interested in seeing show up would be Sin, who is Red Skull's daughter. Yeah. But I would make her like his great, great granddaughter or whatever.
Sure.
Potentially you could have a scenario where the Red Skull left behind some money. And so the family's taken care of. And over the years, they've created like a tech company. In fact, you can do both of them together. She creates a media empire that the hate monger runs.
Here's my theory, based on your tweet, is if they use hate monger, it's not going to be Hitler, a clone of Hitler. It's going to be a clone of Red Skull. So they can get a different actor because he can look different.
Could be.
But then it will be revealed that it's Red Skull who is hate monger. And that way it connects into the old Captain America with the new one. And it's the same problems are happening again. You know, like you play on that.
It is weird, though, because Red Skull is not dead.
No, but he can be a clone. There's nothing that says Red Skull wasn't cloned.
No, 100%. I get it. But like within narrative, traditionally a clone, unless the clone is like fighting the original, usually the clone is like a dead person. It's like kind of weird to be like a Red Skull. I mean,
there's
like
30 Spider-Man clones out there right now.
Yeah, so. But the premise is that they interact with each other. Like that's like the premise.
Yeah.
But I guess you could do that. I mean, there's no reason you couldn't do that. It does. It just feels weird because it feels like it sidelines the,
or maybe you can get Hugo Weaving to come back and
no chance.
You'd be like, no, he's not in the makeup. Don't worry about it.
No chance. There's no chance. Although they would be able to do it with CGI. Now they would just put dots on his face.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but I'm saying he wouldn't even look like Red Skull. He would look like pre Skull to Red Skull.
At the end of the movie, he has to be Red Skull again.
Yeah.
That's if you're going to have the Red Skull show up, he has to be Red Skull again. But that you could do that with dots on the face. Yeah. And then the last movie of Phase 5 is Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts.
Which you've been listening to this program. We have been telling you for a year now that movie was coming.
Yes.
We actually, we weren't sure if it was a movie or a TV show.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we know.
We don't know anything else about it except that it is coming. We know what the premise of Thunderbolts in the comics is, which is that it is a group of villains that pretend to be superheroes. Probably not going to be the case here. It's probably going to be a group of rougher heroes that we've been being introduced to over the course of Phase 4 who come together in a team.
Alania, what's his face?
Alania?
Is that her name? What's her name?
Who's Alania?
Black Widow.
Yelena?
Yelena. Whatever.
Black Widow, U.S. Agent. I'm trying to think who else we have. There's been a couple of characters that have been introduced who can really Taskmaster. There's been a couple of characters introduced who could fit well on a team of characters who are less good people and maybe rougher and maybe would fight in Avengers.
Yes.
And I wonder if the events of Captain America might be a crisis so big that normally the Avengers would take care of it, but there are no more Avengers.
Yep. Oh, that's the other one. Winter Soldier would be part of this team too, right?
Winter Soldier would be part of this team probably too. So Allegra, Julie Louise Dreyfus, pulls the trigger on her team, Thunderbolts, to take care of whatever this thing.
Maybe Ghost. Maybe Ghost can show up again.
Ghost could show up. That's a character who's good for it too. It's any of your villain, quote unquote, villain characters who have a good reason to be villains would fit well on this particular team.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
But we've seen that coming for a minute. Yeah, Zemo's definitely he's the leader of the Thunderbolts in the comics, so he almost certainly would be on the team here.
Yeah. So that'd be exciting.
That's Phase 5.
That's Phase 5. Phase 6.
What's missing from Phase 5?
What's missing? Well, one thing we didn't talk about was the She-Hulk trailer, but
let's get to that in a minute.
We also skipped over some cartoons and stuff. But
the cartoons and stuff are clearly not MCU. So we'll get to that stuff later.
Well, there's confusion over one of them. And it's Marvel called confusion.
The Spider-Man is not MCU.
But I just when it was originally announced, they said it was.
Yeah, but now it's not. So
but now it's not. The so they it's create some confusion.
Clearly is not. Like, it's not even a question. It clearly is not MCU, the end.
also, I want to discuss why all their animation looks so bland.
There's two things I think that are missing. One of which is the Halloween special.
Yeah, no Halloween
special. Werewolf by Night, not mentioned. Does that mean that it's not MCU?
It seems either they forgot to bring it up, or they're saving it for D23, or it's not continuity. Who knows?
It Who seems knows? Like it's not continuity.
It seems possible that that is but not mentioned.
They got Gael Garcia Bernal,
yeah.
Who's
I think it is continuity. I think it's a thing where they're like, look, we don't want to, you know. As weird as it sounds, like, we have a spacing issue at that point, you know, with the layout here. So
I guess, but it makes it seem like the thing's not even happening anymore. Like, this, yeah. the disappearance of it. They didn't bring it up in other panels. There were other panels where they talked about other TV things, the animation. So it ends up in a weird neutral zone where it's, like, unclear if this is going to be. There's a lot of rumors that Man-Thing is in this particular Halloween special. So those are. So those are Marvel characters, and those are characters that could show up in, like, Agatha, Coven of Chaos, or whatever.
Blade.
They show up in Blade, right. I have more to talk about that for Phase 6, by the way.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it was weird. The other thing that was not in Phase 5 is, despite the introduction of mutants at the end of Ms. Marvel, there's no mutants in Phase 5.
And as a matter of fact, Rob Liefeld made it a point this weekend, when people asked him on Twitter, he was like, I've been telling you it's going to be a while.
So I know why.
Why?
I know why there's no mutants. And I know why it's going to take a while. There might be individual mutants. There might be other characters that show up.
Start introducing some mutants. Yeah.
The reason why is because the contractual situation with the original Fox stuff is going to be in effect till 2025.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
And so if they don't want to use those actors, then they have to wait until that contract all expire.
Okay. Do they even have to wait to announce? Like, how does that work?
I mean, so we're going to get Phase 6. Who knows what's going to be in Phase 6? They got, like, 9 open spots in Phase 6.
But so they said they're going to announce those at D23.
Right. So I'm saying, but, like, maybe that'll be announced. That stuff's all 2025.
But what I'm wondering is, like, can you even announce it before that?
Well, this is what I'm talking about now. Is that stuff's 2025? So if they're going to have stuff hitting in 2025 at the end of the contract, then they'll announce it. But I think that actually they probably can't go into production until the contracts are up. Like, it's not even a release. It's the same thing with Superman. They won't announce it
coming out in 2025. Then,
so they're going to be Phase 7. So you're not going to see mutants until Phase 7. They're going to be mutants that will show up after the multiverse saga is over.
Sure, there you go.
But that's the answer.
Smart. You got plenty of stuff to do right now. Like,
there's plenty of stuff. I mean, but that is the answer. So even though it's been years now that Marvel has owned Fox again, or Disney's owned Fox, and even though we all have been very excited about them doing a good X-Men stuff, we're just going to keep waiting forever. So in fact, maybe it's possible that if Marvel does what Marvel usually does, which is stay sort of, like, close to the comics, the actors who are going to play the X-Men, we don't even know who they are yet.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably, like, 11.
So what about Deadpool? Like, we know they're working with Ryan Reynolds on the new Deadpool, so that could be announced now, right?
But that's the same guy.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, that could be part of Phase 6.
Yeah, that's probably going to be Phase 6.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
Or he might show up in something at some point, right?
He could, like, yeah. But that's because it's the same guy, and they're keeping the guy. They can just make Deadpools. They might show up in Phase 6 when we get the full Phase 6 announcements. They might also be very careful not to include it in the MCU timelines.
Sure.
Because of the nature of him.
Yeah.
They may say, well, these are happening.
Deadpool and Deadpool 2 and Logan to Disney Plus this weekend.
Yeah, sure. But they have all kinds of garbage on Disney Plus.
But those are R-rated. That's
the big information. They're R-rated. But, like, but in terms of the MCU stuff, they may keep him out of the timelines because of his weirdness.
Yeah.
But who knows? But yeah, that's why they can have a Deadpool before 2025 potentially, is because that same guy playing that same character.
Yeah. What if Deadpool is the trick to taking down Kang, because Deadpool knows that it's all movies?
Could be. Could be. But so that's the reason why we're not going to see mutants until phase 7, or at least not significant numbers, or the mutants that we've already met. We're not going to see the X-Men until phase 7.
Okay.
But that was I really was wondering. I was like, wow, that's really crazy. Like, we're like, Ms. Marvel did seem like it was opening the door, and that we were going to walk through that door next phase, but that is not the case.
Nope. But speaking of phase 6, we got Fantastic Four kicking it off.
And then we've got a bunch of empty spaces.
Eight or nine, right?
And then it ends with two Avengers movies in the same year.
Yes.
Avengers Kang Dynasty and Avengers Secret Wars.
Yep.
So.
Is that going to be the new Avengers move? Every movie is going to be a two-parter?
I don't think this is going to be a two-parter. I think it would be called part one and part two.
I think it's.
Well,
the what story happens in the Kang one leads right into Secret Wars. That's my.
I'm going to agree with that, but I'm going to say that it's not a two-parter, which is a bitch way of putting it. I'm being like a real pedant right here.
Yeah.
But I think that what's going to happen. Here's my guess.
Also, I mean, they weren't called one and two for the last ones. It was Infinity War, Endgame. Right, but they're a two-parter.
It's a good point. It is sort of it's not really a two-parter. It's just, it's 5 years later. It's just a sequel.
It's a two-parter.
My guess here is that in Kang Dynasty, this is my guess. I have no information. That in Kang Dynasty, Kang will, like in the comic book Kang Dynasty, which happened in the turn of the century, Kang will win.
Yeah,
and will take over the Earth. Yeah. And then at the end of the story, the only way to defeat him is. Maybe incursion or something like that. What's going to happen is that it's going to end up being the end of the multiverse, and it's going to be all destroyed. And
it's going to be a crisis.
But that's how it's going to end with a white screen. Like everybody's dead. Like it's going to end with everybody's dead. The end. But then Secret Wars, it's going to be that actually Doom has pulled it all together and has created his version of Battleworld.
Yeah.
Then that's my guess. That's my guess. I don't think they're going to do a full-on 1984 Secret Wars.
No.
Because they've been introducing incursions and the idea of multiverses crashing into each other.
Yeah.
It does. And also because this is now officially known as the Multiverse Saga.
Yes.
It does seem like they're going to pull from the 2015 Secret Wars. For the folks at home that don't know what this is, let me tell you. In 1984, Marvel Comics released a 12-part miniseries called Marvel Superheroes Secret Wars. And it was... it was based on toys. It was all just for toys. They had a toy company where they were working with, and the toy company wanted a comic book to push the toys. So they created this miniseries where the premise was that the Marvel superheroes and villains are transported to a faraway planet by an all-powerful being called the Beyonder, who makes them fight, just as your child will do in the backyard. And it's actually a pretty good miniseries, I think. I really like it a lot.
I love it. And like huge things came out of that miniseries. Huge. I mean, that's the introduction of the black suit Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, that's the introduction of the symbiote. Like that's
it's a big deal. But it's just a good story. And it has Dr. Doom like doing some good Dr. Doom shit where he travels up and takes the power of the Beyonder. It's like pretty good. Like it's pretty strong. Like it's not just the heroes and villains fighting each other. They turn on the Beyonder. That ends.
The Hulk holds up a mountain.
There's a Secret Wars 2 that's not really. They're not going to adapt. And then there is the 2015 Secret Wars, which is the culmination of a very long storyline in Avengers from writer Jonathan Hickman. And in that storyline, we discovered there were multiple realities colliding called incursions, and they were happening a lot. They were happening more and more. And in fact, it was down to two universes, our universe and the Ultimate Universe. That was a universe that Marvel created so that people could read Marvel. They rebooted Marvel in a separate universe. They started all the characters again at the beginning, so you didn't need to know the history. And they could do like more modern versions of them, which meant they were all way too edgy. It was really embarrassing. But anyway, in that storyline, the Illuminati was a big part of it because it turns out that they were planning to destroy other universes that were going to incursion with ours. It was a big fuck up. Pretty crazy. Reed Richards,
Captain America's mind.
Reed Richards and all those guys wanted to kill trillions of beings. Like, yes. Kind of a big fucking swing that they just sort of walked away from.
Yeah, nobody, but anyway, just nobody talks about it now. That's the answer.
They just let's move past it. Anyway, at the end of that, all the universes were destroyed. And then they launched Secret Wars, where it turns out that Dr. Doom had taken the power of the Beyonders. We had learned in the preceding 40 years that the Beyonder was only one of a race. There's other Beyonders. He had taken the power.
Which was a retcon in itself from the Beyonder was a cosmic cube.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He created this world where he pulled different pieces of the multiverse together to create one planet. So all across this globe, there were different realities stitched together. And he became God Emperor of this. He also put the Fantastic Four in his service. He turned the Human Torch into the sun. He made Sue Storm marry him.
Yep.
Molecule I forget what he did with the rest out of there. Oh, the thing is like a mountain or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think the thing's a mountain. I know Molecule Man is the one that holds everything together.
So then that becomes sort of the story that Doom has this world that he's created. He's the god of, and the different heroes have to come together to defeat him. And when they do, reality snaps back to the shape that we know. And instead of at the time, we thought they were going to be retconning Marvel and like changing all these things. And the big change they made was that Miles Morales Spider-Man showed up. That was it. That was the whole thing.
That was it. That was the one change.
Yeah, they didn't like retcon characters' origins or whatever. They just said, oh, yeah, Miles Morales is here now.
Yeah,
and he knew these from an alternate universe, too. It isn't even like he was always here. He's like, I came here from an alternate universe.
Yep, and he's got his family there. I don't think he's ever asked what happened to that version of him.
No, that's him. He's the same one.
With his family, too? Like, his family came over in the reconnection of the universe?
But that's him. He knows he's from a different universe.
Yes, he knows.
He has memories. But
I don't think his family.
No, but yeah.
So that means that somewhere in the 616 there was a Miles Morales.
No, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think that is
the case, because in the Spider-Man crossover story, we know that there is a Miles Morales on the 616, and then he's just never mentioned again.
How do we know that?
Because they did the crossover between 616 and 1616 called Spider-Man, where Peter of 616 travels to the Ultimate Universe, and then Miles travels with him to the 616, and then they go back to their own places. And when they're in the 616, there's a setup of like, what about this world's Miles? Where is he? And it's like, oh, we'll find out.
Well, and then we'll just never talk about it. That's, I think, the key.
Yep.
So
that is constant Marvel continuity we don't talk about that anymore.
So this all gives a shape to what we've been experiencing in phase four. We now understand what the pieces being laid down sort of are. It's about the multiverse stuff. It is leading up to a multiverse thing of some kind. And that's the phase six that we know so far. They're going to probably announce the rest of it at D23 in September.
Yes.
Is the guess.
Well, that's what Kevin Feige said.
Did he say it? He said that officially?
Apparently he said that in an interview. So there you go. There you go. Very exciting. Two Avengers movies in 1 year.
I'm into it.
Owning that box office is the goal.
I mean, yeah. The thing is, though, it's been a million years since there's been an Avengers by that point.
Yeah, so that's a very long time.
It's really smart. Like, they're building up a lot of anticipation for it.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's all super duper interesting. I think that the idea of calling it Avengers, I think maybe is even the – I wish they had called it Marvel Superhero Secret Wars, because my sense is that it's not an Avengers movie. My sense is that it's going to be just all of the fucking characters.
I mean, is there even an Avengers at this moment?
Well, that's the thing. I think that's the Thunderbolts thing. I don't know if there's like actually an Avengers right now.
Yeah.
I don't think there is. I don't think there is. I don't think it's like an official team. Nobody's mentioned it because I don't think that they have decided in-house what to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, who would be on that team? Like, what they like,
what they're doing,
yeah, who's funding it?
They left a lot of that stuff vague in the past, anyway, right? Like, yes. In between event movies, they just sort of left it vague what was happening. Like, well, maybe they did stuff, we think so,
but they had it. Like, we knew who the team was. Right now, we don't even know if there is a team and who was on it, right? Like obviously, Ant-Man, I guess, makes a mention in the trailer, but is there a team? Is he even an Avenger? Was he ever made an Avenger? You know,
he says he is.
Everybody's an Avenger.
I think that an Avenger is more of like a
Marvel hero.
Yeah, I think that might be what it even is. The question is, what are the unannounced projects in phase six? And I think I might have some insight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Well, there was a flurry of trademarks registered by Marvel.
Yes.
The 2 days before Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And half of them were announced at Comic-Con, so they're legit.
Yes.
So that lends credence to the rest of these that have not yet been announced. Now, there's a possibility that they also announce things. They trademark things just to fuck up people who search the trademarks.
Yeah.
So that you get confused and you don't know what's real, what's not. But who knows? I mean, like, it's hard to know. And some of this stuff sounds reasonable to me.
Okay.
One of the things that they've trademarked is Nomad.
Yes.
Makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
Nomad is a character from Marvel Comics who has had a couple different people in that suit. Nomad is the name that Captain America had when he quit being Captain America.
Put on the dumbest costume ever.
It's a bad costume. There's been a couple of different Buckys who have been Nomad over the years.
Yep. Including Bucky himself.
Yeah. So that's a pretty reasonable thing, like Nomad becoming a character. I'm not sure who would be Nomad.
I would think Bucky.
But he's the Winter Soldier. We all know that, and he's very well known.
Yeah,
I don't think there's no reason to.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
There's no reason to. Now, we don't know if these are movies or TV shows or if they're real, but they were all part of one thing where half of them ended up being real. So we know
I would think if there is a Nomad coming, we'll meet him in New World Order or them. It could be a woman as well, right? So we'll meet
I think there is a female Nomad, I think, at some point.
I mean, even if there isn't in the comics, they could just do it. Like, Nomad could be, what's her face? Agent 13, whatever her name is.
Oh, that's actually really good. We saw at Comic-Con an image on a banner of her in her classic white spy suit.
Yeah.
That actually would make a lot of sense if that she became Nomad. Yeah, it's actually pretty reasonable.
There you go.
Here's another one. Captain America, red, white, and black.
That's interesting.
That's really interesting. So Red, White, and Black, for those who don't know, is the story, the miniseries that tells the story of Isaiah Bradley, the original Captain America, in the comics. In the movies, they changed it. But in the comics, he is a black soldier who has the super soldier serum tested on him. It's a Tuskegee Airmen thing where the government is using black people as experimental lab rats because they're so racist. And he does become super strong, becomes Captain America in the comic. He does have an adventure that is very similar to the adventure that Captain America has in the first Captain America movie.
Yes.
We've met this guy in Falcon and Winter Soldier. He's an old man.
Yeah.
We met his grandson, who we know in the comics becomes a superhero, by the way.
Yes.
So there's a really interesting thing here. So what is this? Is this another Captain America movie? This doesn't seem likely. Could it be a Captain America TV show?
If some of these are to throw people off, that one I would think is to throw people off.
Well, that's the thing. So they did two Captain Americas, right? So like that could be the thing to throw. Everybody knows there's a Captain America coming. So maybe they did two so that we wouldn't know which one was going to be announced.
But that's the other thing is I can see it also being something where it's like, oh, well, we're going to introduce – what's his name in the comics? Is it Patriot?
Patriot, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to introduce Patriot. But we'll do it in a thing where we also flash back to his grandfather's story. And that could be interesting, right?
Like, I mean, it could be interesting.
A mixed thing.
I mean, it could be an interesting Disney Plus show.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, it's fat. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I don't know what the deal is. It could be an animated thing for all you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it could be an animated deal. I mean, we have no way of knowing.
No.
So there's more. There's one they trademark called Celestials, End of Time.
There you go.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, Kevin Feige has promised that the Eternals will return.
Yep.
He said this in an interview at San Diego Comic-Con. Could that be what they're rebranding Eternals as? Celestials?
Maybe. Seems plausible.
And then there's one more. And this also could be an attempt to throw people off. Or it could be a real thing. It's Avengers Eternity Wars.
Yeah, I think that's to throw people off.
There is an Eternity War comic, and it is about the Celestials.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
A comic story, I should say. It's not a comic. It's a comic story.
Yeah.
And so it's not implausible that they're trademarking Phase 7 stuff.
Sure.
Really because the Celestial story is probably going to be happening on a different timeline than the Kang multiverse story, right?
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so.
Because we've established the Celestials are going to judge Earth.
Yes.
We have to follow that up at some point.
Eternity I feel like that's going to get touched on in Fantastic Four, personally.
Galactus is in Fantastic Four.
But I can see Celestials coming up in Fantastic Four. Like, I don't think that they'll be a focus, but I can see them coming up. Like they came up in Guardians of the Galaxy, like that kind
of thing. So they had, there's a Galactus retcon where Galactus is now, was now understood to travel the universe eating Celestial seeds.
Okay.
That was like part of his deal. So that is a way to get the Celestials involved, is that if it turns out this guy, if he's in it, that the Celestials could be also involved in some way, or they could be brought up in some way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's almost, I mean, I feel with with what little inside information that I have, I feel a pretty strong guarantee that he's going to be a Fantastic Four. They're not going to make us wait.
That's interesting.
But who knows? I could
it's kind of a bummer.
Why?
Because to me, Galactus should be like a major event. Like that should be an Avengers thing, is like Galactus, but you know, and plus, I mean,
he's not big enough.
We've already
introduced bigger guys.
Yeah, I guess not.
And you don't literally fight Galactus by hitting him. Like that's the thing.
Does that mean that Silver Surfer is also going to pop up and Dr. Doom? Like how much shit is going to be going on in this Fantastic Four movie?
I mean, I think that sounds reasonable to me.
That seems like a lot of characters to be tossing in. That's my feeling.
I think that you can't do a new Fantastic Four movie that begins with Dr. Doom. I just feel like you just can't. Like, we did it already. I just don't think it's that interesting. I think people know Dr. Doom. I think he's established enough in the popular consciousness that you don't need to waste a lot of time.
Well, I think he's going to show up in Black Panther, but beyond that.
And he might show up in something else in between as well. And he could show up in fucking Captain America.
Yeah. I mean, he could show up anywhere. Dr. Doom at this point is really a Marvel villain, like he's
like a good
one character anymore.
But like in terms of like what kind of story level would make sense, Captain America makes sense because we have New World Order, it's international espionage story. Latveria could be involved.
Yeah.
So that I think that's reasonable.
Could be Thunderbolts. We have to break into Latveria.
It could be Thunderbolts. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that you need to even make Doom the villain of Fantastic Four. He's just one of the main characters of Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's – and if I'm tying the Fantastic Four's origin into the story, is it possible that their ship – first of all, they're going to be multiversal, right? That's guaranteed. They're not a rocket.
The ultimate origin.
Does that somehow get the attention of Galactus? Is that the story?
Well, I mean, if Galactus is feeding off of seeds, I would think a half – open seed sticking out in the middle of the ocean might call his attention.
That might call his attention too. But I guess we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. I generally trust these guys.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
And I think that they really have been really invested in Fantastic Four for a long time. They wanted that fucking property back.
Yeah.
So they've spent a lot of time thinking about it.
I agree. I think it's very important to them and they know that.
I think that making Doom not the villain, but just an antagonist who's a main character in the movie, I think makes more sense to me.
I don't disagree. It's just a thing of like, it seems like that's a lot of characters running around in one movie.
I guess. Doesn't seem that crazy to me. Silver Surfer, you don't have to make a big deal out of.
I think you'd be crazy not to. I mean, he's amazing. Like, he's a guy that you can do your own movies with him.
Well, then just use Terax or somebody then. A different herald. Just bring a different herald.
Yeah.
We'll
see what they do.
We will see what they do. But that is the current state. We did not talk about the She-Hulk trailer.
Nope.
Yeah, we're not talking about the boys. This is already almost 2 hours. We'll do the boys next week. The She-Hulk trailer, which I mostly liked.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. It looks fun.
They've announced that it is definitely a half-hour comedy. It's a sitcom.
That's good.
I'm all about it. I think that her CGI still doesn't look good.
I've watched the trailer multiple times because I feel like she's out of sync in some shots. Like her lip syncing is off. And I don't know. I don't know if it's something with the trailer and buffering or if it's off. I don't know. I mean, they're still working on it, right? So
I mean, it comes out in less than a month, so they're technically still working on it
up to like the minute. So
probably, but still, I think that the problem here is that we're going to have a total uncanny valley because she has a regular face. I mean, this is the problem with the thing. When you do the Hulk, because it's a cartooned version of Mark Ruffalo's face, he's got bigger, wider features and shit like that.
Yeah.
The uncanny valley doesn't quite hit so much because he doesn't. Yeah. It's not a full human face necessarily. Yeah.
Exaggerated features, exaggerated and like size and anatomy and whatnot, right? Like,
right. So, she doesn't have that. She's just a person who's green, and so as a result, it will always end up being Uncanny Valley unless you're doing even the Avatar characters. I think I look at them and I go, they look weird. Not because they're cat people, but there's like just something weird,
something off in their eyes. Yeah,
which is the issue. It's going to be the same thing here. So I don't think it's ever going to. I think it was a decision they made that I don't think was a good decision.
Yeah, they should have just gotten a large, like bodybuilder woman to play She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Like have them switch, like just do it old school Bixby, Frigno style.
Or just do the fucking comics where she's pretty much She-Hulk all the time.
Yep, that could have worked too. Yep.
I mean, like that's fine. Like just have it be She-Hulk all the time. You hire a Jennifer Walters, little Jennifer Walters for the origin sequence.
Yeah.
Which you do as a flashback anyway.
Yeah. Or you Captain America and you just CG whoever you hired to be She-Hulk to be small
as a little person. Like, yeah, that makes more sense, frankly, because that really worked in
Captain America. Yeah, that was like 10 years ago. By now, it's got to be even better, right? So you do it like a Colin Robinson on the new season of What We Do.
Looks very good.
It's hilarious.
It looks very, very good, the Colin Robinson. That show must have such an unbelievable special effects budget.
I don't think it looks very good, but I think it fits for the show very well.
I think it looks really good because it's silly.
Yes.
But it's supposed to be silly.
Yes, yes.
But
I don't think they were trying to make it look realistic. I think they were going for like a weird look to it and whatnot. Yeah.
But when I say it looks good, it looks silly. It's supposed to look silly, but it doesn't look like they pasted his head on a thing. Do you know what I mean? Like it looks like that weird head is on that little body.
Yes.
It obviously looks weird, but it's supposed to look weird, but it doesn't look like they just have, it isn't like just like a floating head in front of a face or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
I think there's some shots where it's just a floating head. Like his head does not move with the body properly sometimes, but it's fine because that's the feel of that show.
Right.
You know, but like that show plays into like that kind of thing.
Right. The other stuff we didn't talk about, What If?
Yeah.
They released What If information. We know some of the episodes, including an adaptation of Neil Gaiman's 1602, which is the Marvel Universe if it existed in 1602.
And they announced the third season.
What?
They announced a third season as well.
Did they?
Yes.
There's a sequel to the Captain Britain, Haley Atwell, Captain Carter.
Yep.
They're going to do, I think, Ultron, right?
I thought it was Winter Soldier.
Oh, it's Winter Soldier. Yeah, they're going to do Winter Soldier. Steve is going to be Winter Soldier. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else did they announce?
They announced the Marvel Zombie show.
Which is going to be TVMA, they said.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to watch that.
I have no interest in that at all. None at all. The only thing I'm interested in that is that Kamala Khan is part of it, and somebody pointed out that based on – since it's coming from the What If universe, the universe we saw in What If – there is no Captain Marvel for Kamala Khan to be a fan of. So who is she a fan of? I was like, that's interesting. I wonder, that'll be interesting. But that's not enough to make me watch an entire series. That's something where I'd like check in and be like, oh, look at that. And
I think they're just not going to address it.
Yeah, probably.
That's the thing. I think they're just going to not address it. She's just going to show up. They have a bunch of the new characters. Oh, I forgot to, there were other fucking names that were trademarked.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I totally forgot this. Shang-Chi and the Wreckage of Time.
Oh, that's a good title.
That's a good title. It gives you a good sense what we're talking about here, right? Like,
yes.
You really realize, you look at that and you go, oh, that's a Kang story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like that, we understand how that connects to Kang. They also did Black Knight Origins.
Okay.
Terrible title. That
sounds like a TV show.
It's got to be a TV show, right?
Like I would say animated, if anything.
Maybe. I mean, we have no idea. There's no way to know.
Because it would be something where it's like, these are all the Black Knights throughout history. That'd be my guess. Like, maybe. If it was just Origin, it would be Black Knight, but Origins suggest many Black Knights.
No, Origins is what they all call all these fucking movies. What's called Wolverine Origins.
But X-Men Wolverine Origins. It was X-Men Origins Wolverine because they were going to do a series of them. And then Wolverine sucked, so they didn't do it.
All right, so here's the rest of them. Hercules, Rise of the Gods.
Okay.
Runaways, New Era.
Ooh. That's funny, New Era.
Red Guardian, Generations.
Oh, that's interesting.
Avengers Academy.
Okay.
Avengers Timeless.
Okay, which is a comic, isn't it?
Avengers Excursion.
Okay.
Timeless Saga.
God, that's a lot.
Eternity Saga.
Okay.
Sam Wilson, Captain America. And Midnight Suns.
Okay.
So Midnight Suns is obviously, for those who read the comics, it's a crossover of the supernatural adjacent characters. So Blade and Moon Knight, Werewolf at Night.
Maybe Agatha Harkness will show up in there.
Agatha Harkness is a good character for that. So they you know, it's interesting. Now, some of these are probably to throw you off. They did a lot of
Avengers. Or cartoons. I can see some of those being, like, some of those Avengers ones being cartoons.
Could be.
Right? Like Avengers Academy would be a fine cartoon. That would work, right?
The one thing is they didn't trademark Young Avengers.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I wonder if Avengers Academy?
I hope not, because that's not a good name for that.
I agree with that. I was really hoping they were going to do Young Avengers, but that's not on the list. I mean,
who knows? Call it New Warriors if it was me.
They may still be trademarking shit. Like,
yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they may be waiting before D23 to trademark a bunch of other shit.
Yes.
But the Shang-Chi and the Wreckage of Time is a pretty great title. It has that great pulp feel. And it clearly tells you that this is going to be something involving Kang.
Yes.
So the question of, like, where else Kang's going to show up is going to be there.
Yeah, he's going to be in Shang-Chi.
And that's going to be a good reason why Shang-Chi is going to show up in the final Avengers stuff.
Yes.
He's got Kang experience.
Connect them somehow. Yeah. You got to bring him in.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's exciting.
Red Guardian Generations, interesting. They're considering spinning him off.
Yes. Well, he was a popular character, right?
He was a popular character. People did like him.
People like that actor. What's his name? David Harbour.
David Harbour.
Yeah.
And then Runaways New Era is really interesting as well. The question is, is this like Daredevil Born Again, where they're doing New Era as a way of saying, well,
Hulu, but not really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. That one I would be very surprised by, because I don't think anyone knows that show exists.
I agree. It was not that and Cloak and Dagger were not well
notched,
not well beloved.
No. That's interesting. Unless maybe they're just going to, instead of doing Young Avengers or New Warriors, they're just going to call them Runaways, because that title works well.
Could be.
And not actually do the Runaways or bring in the Runaways later, because that's the other thing, is at least one member of the Runaways is immune, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And at least one member of the Runaways has joined not the Young Avengers, but like the Champions or whatever. So like this, it's like an amorphous group of young kids in the comics.
Spider-Man freshman year.
So it's kind of fascinating. And the Hercules Rise of the Gods, that makes a lot of sense. Terrible title, but okay.
That's a terrible title.
It's a rotten title, right? Yeah. Just a rotten fucking title. Eternity Saga is a really interesting one.
Yes.
Because that could be phase 789.
Like, yeah. God, they just don't stop.
Don't stop. Black Knight Origins does make a lot of sense as a TV show.
I think so. Each episode is a different Black Knight throughout history. So you go back to like.
Oh, no, it's just Arthurian the one Black Knight. I think there's just the one Black Knight. I think there's only one Black Knight.
Yeah.
Well, there's the Black Knight from Arthur. And then there's.
And he traveled through time, right? Isn't that his deal? Or no, it's his like grandson, or not grandson, but like his ancestor becomes Black Knight.
I have to look this up because I don't remember the exact intricacies of Black Knight.
I just want to know if he's going to have his flying motorcycle horse.
I hope he does in the modern day stuff.
My favorite costume, because it's always so goofy looking to me, is when he was on the Avengers at that period when the Avengers were all wearing jackets for some reason. And so he's got his Black Knight helmet and his Black Knight armor and the leather jacket over it.
I like his jacket, though.
I liked it, but it was always like a weird look. It was like, that's a weird look.
There is only two Black Knights before Dan Whitman in the comics.
Okay.
And So it's the original Black Knight, and then it's Nathan Garrett, who is a villain and then gets killed, and then becomes Dane Whitman is his nephew and becomes becomes the Black Knight. I guess it turns out there's other Black Knights after him. There's a Augustine Duloc, and also this is what they say: female Black Knight. But I guess she's just a background character. Like they didn't actually like.
Maybe she's in like the Alex Ross Earth X stuff or something. She might be like one of those kinds of things.
Oh, you know what it is? She's in one of those. She's remember when they did this thing in the comics where they did the 50 state initiative and every state was going to get its own superhero team.
Oh yes. Yeah.
It looks like she's one of, from that part era. That?
Okay. Okay.
But she's, I think just showed up like in a,
yeah, she's in, a just scene. In the background somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Actually maybe there's more Black Knights. Cause I guess Excalibur, New Excalibur indicates that there's a long line of paintings of the Knights.
There you go.
This is only one issue of New Excalibur, but I guess who knows.
And that was my understanding was that like, it's like a generational thing.
Yeah, but my understanding originally it was like not, it just, nobody had done it until,
yeah.
Until his uncle. And then the premise that Dane Whitman wanted to, rehabilitate the image.
Yeah. Like the family name or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
That's what we're looking at.
It's a lot of marble.
It's not that much, though.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's about as much as we got the past year. And then I think that most of them have like three movies and a bunch of TV shows.
Yeah. What I mean when I say it's a lot of marble is just like they're really, they laid out a lot more than I think anybody thought they were going to this weekend.
Right.
You know?
Okay, no, it's four. I think it's four movies a year, which is one a quarter, which is pretty reasonable to me. But what do I know? I'm a simp.
Yeah,
I'm a straight.
Well, no, it's more than that because I'm looking right here at Phase 5. It's Quantumania, Guardians of the Galaxy, Marvels, Blade, Captain America, Thunderbolts. That's six.
Captain America is 2024.
Oh, that's right.
Look at the dates.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm talking about per year, not per phase. So in 2023, it's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4 movies. That's and crazy. Then it's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 TV shows.
Yeah.
So that's not crazy, I don't think. But I guess people will still complain. But
mainly it's the 18 hours of Daredevil that I'm not looking forward to.
What a part of our lives where we're going to just do 18 hours of Daredevil in this program. All right, we'll be back again next week. We'll talk about The Boys, which I had promised for this week. But we
do we want to talk about other things that are missing?
Like what?
Like, there is no mention of Ms. Marvel season 2, and that breaks my heart.
Yes, there is no mention of that.
Although apparently she got quite the a round of applause in the theater, in Hall H, when she was mentioned.
I mean, it's plausible they're going to drop that on us for Phase 6.
Yeah.
Loki's the only one getting a sequel. There's no for the next 2 years, there's no Hawkeye. Yeah.
Nope, no one else has been announced for a sequel.
That's maybe the most interesting part about the TV shows is that they're not doing them like TV shows. He did. Yeah. Feige did say Daredevil has an 18 episode first season.
Okay.
So he intends that to be a multiple season program.
Ongoing. Yeah. I'm guessing Daredevil they're looking at to build out their street level stuff.
Yeah.
You know. So I don't know why they're doing Echo and Daredevil. Like I do. But I'm guessing maybe Echo kicks it off and then it goes into Daredevil. I have no idea. I don't know. Who's to say?
Yeah, I think they walk backwards into this and they weren't sure how much of this Daredevil stuff they wanted to use, maybe.
Yeah.
So that's my guess. I honestly don't know. I mean, Echo, I get it because it's a female, she's native, and she's deaf.
Yes.
Not to be cynical, but like I'm being cynical. Like,
yeah.
You know, they're checking off boxes. I'm not complaining about that.
With the actress, right? I mean, that was a big part of it. Was they were like, she's
that was their deal. Yeah, she's like a martial artist. Yeah. I will say this, looking at these movies that are listed, I fucking love the diversity of these characters.
It's pretty out there.
It's pretty great. I love it. I love that there's a lot of characters who are not white men.
Yeah.
There's a lot of characters that are not white men in the Marvel coming up in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's so many characters that are not white men that actually makes me feel, if they do go with an all white Fantastic Four, I will feel less disappointed because they have really populated this universe with a lot of non-white people.
It is quite a bit. It's quite a bit.
So I love it. I'm all about it, baby.
Yeah, a lot of female characters. They're really pushing, yep. they're moving that forward, which is good.
Yep, it's pretty great. I love to see it. Love to see it. It makes me very happy.
The only thing that annoys me with that is we know that if any of these movies underperform, it's going to be because they're woke.
Yes,
and
exactly.
We're going to have to hear that over and over again.
Exactly. But we're going to hear that over and over again no matter what.
No matter
what else is missing?
Hawkeye Season 2. I would have liked that. You know. I mean, like we said, there's no Young Avengers mentioned, you know, which is, I'm very surprised by that. I really thought as they were revealing these faces, I was like, well, obviously that's going to be, like, you've set up all the characters already, and then it's not mentioned. I'm really surprised by that.
Again, we
especially since these are young, so you don't want to wait too long because you've cast these roles, and they're going to be like 30 by the time you get to the movie. You don't want to run into a Shazam problem where it's you got old.
Well, you know? I think that we still have a lot of stuff to announce for Phase 6.
Yes. And these are, it's one of those things where it's like, because I keep thinking in terms of the first three phases, but we're going through phases 4, 5, and 6 in the course of like 3 years.
Yeah.
Like they're basically a year long now, each phase, which is, I think, smart. I think that's very smart.
Right.
You know, especially as you grow, as you have more stuff with the shows and whatnot, it's like, you don't want to have like 70 things to make up a phase. You don't need that right now. Like,
right.
This is fine. Yeah. I like it.
All right, we got anything else to talk about, or we can be done because this is now so long. Don't think about it. Just like,
what if the remaining movies they haven't announced are all new universe characters? That'd be pretty funny.
I'd be psyched to see Star Brand show up.
Yeah,
you cannot have a show, a movie called DP7 these days.
Oh, and that's what it was. DP7.
Everybody, yeah. if you had a show or a movie called DP7, everybody would think DP stood for something else. Yeah. That's it, right? We can end this?
I think so. I think we're good to go.
All right, Derek, where can they find you on the internet?
Find me on Twitter at @WH_Woolhat.
And if you want to hear us talk about these movies when they come out, you're going to want to subscribe to our podcast called Watchmen, where we do monthly superhero deep dives, and we talk about the new movies as they come out. You can only hear us talk about the movies there. That's going to be at the $5 and above level at our Patreon, www.patreon.com/cinemasangha, S-A-N-G-H-A. My name is Devin Faraci. You can find me on Devin CF on Twitter. We'll be back again next week. We're going to talk about The Boys as we fill up some time before She-Hulk returns. Or should
talk to, I should say. For The Boys.
What soundbite do I got to get?
You got to get Nick Frost saying, "Yeah, boy."
No.
Shaun of the Dead.
We do not have to do that.
I think we do.
So that's going to be next week.
You do it and you never use it.
That's going to be next week. And I think that's pretty good. We're supposed to do a third Hulk TV movie, but it's not available anywhere.
Yes, it's going to be very hard.
This has been the hang up in us doing the Death of the Incredible Hulk. We've done the first two. So we'll have to figure out other ways to fill time until August 17th. But we'll figure it out. All right, we'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
It's not that far away.
It's pretty close, all told. Yeah. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening. Until we talk to you again, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be safe, may you be well, but most of all, may you remain a true believer.